The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, July 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Delaware State Police are investigating the deaths of five people, including three children, found inside a Price's Corner home on Monday night. Authorities confirmed that a 42-year-old man and 41-year-old woman and their three children under the age of eight died of apparent gunshot wounds. Police were called about 8 o'clock to the home on the 2700 block of Ferris Road. Despite the large police presence at the scene, Delaware State Police say there is no concern for public safety. Neighbors said that just on Sunday, they saw the five family members outside of their home, and they were in shock after they heard that all of them were dead. Investigators have not yet released the identity of the victims. This is pending family notification. Autopsies will be performed to determine the exact cause of death. Anyone with information about the incident is asked to contact the Delaware State Police Homicide Unit. But they're being pretty tight-lipped, so they're not really saying yet what it is.
So they haven't said anything about murder-suicide.
No, not yet.
They probably would have released that, I would think, right?
If
they,
I guess.
To,
I don't
to
know
alleviate any fears of the public, but...
In the neighborhood, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's horrible.
But they are saying that they don't think it's a public safety issue, so then you think, all right, is it?
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll get some more information as the morning goes along.
Yep.
Police have apprehended a man they say murdered his ex-girlfriend in Bensalem Township Monday morning. 45-year-old William Table was charged Monday night with criminal homicide and kidnapping in the stabbing death of 43-year-old Teresa Priestley. Police said it was after Table stabbed a second person in Philadelphia, a homeless man, that officers were able to track him down. Table kept quiet as he was walked from the police station to appear in court following the 12-hour manhunt that ended in Philadelphia. Table is accused of stabbing his ex-girlfriend, Priestley, to death while she was driving away from her Bensalem apartment. The two had dated and lived together but recently broke up. Table was thrown out of the apartment and Priestley just had her locks changed yesterday. It was right around 6:45 in the morning when neighbors at the Village Square Apartments heard a woman screaming, "Help me!" After that, tires screeched, said one of the residents. Around the same time, police say that Priestley called 911 saying she was in danger. Within a minute, another call came in reporting an accident in the 3100 block of Humeville Road. Priestley was found stabbed to death inside the vehicle. At first, investigators believed the suspect had returned to the apartment with Priestley's two teenage children inside, so police quickly evacuated that section of the complex. Table was not inside. Police are questioning three people who were inside the apartment at the time. 10 boys reportedly have been evacuated from a cave in northern Thailand as rescuers continue efforts to save the Thai youth soccer team and their coach trapped since June 23rd. The 10th boy emerged from deep within the cave complex, the second to be rescued on the third day of a huge international operation to save the boys and the 25-year-old coach. The boy, who was brought out shortly after his teammate, was being treated at a medical facility at the site. 8 of the 12 boys who had been trapped within the flooded cave were rescued during the first 2 days of the operation. They're now recovering in a hospital and are said to be healthy. Rescuers plan to bring out the remaining two members of the youth soccer team and their coach, along with four experts who have been by their side more or less constantly since they were found earlier last week.
I think it's, in fact, that's underway right now, I think.
Yes,
they're in the cave right now.
Yep.
Working their way through.
19 divers entered the cave at 10 a.m. local time Tuesday. The boys were exploring the caves on June 23rd with their coach when they were trapped inside by heavy seasonal rain. After they were found on July 2nd, officials cautioned that it could take some time to get them out, but that the heavy rain forecast to hit the region, authorities decided to act now.
Think about how amazing this will be if everybody gets out of there unscathed. I mean, you did have the one diver die, which is horrible.
Yeah.
But think about this. Before they even got to them, they were in there, I think, for 9 days. And imagine
they didn't even know they were alive.
How long the last week has been for you, and you've been out and about doing stuff,
sure,
and going to work and all this
walking
stuff,
walking around
in a cave where you can't see your hand in front of your face for 9 days
before
they even got to you, and they all might make it out alive.
I forget where I was, but it was some sort of tourist attraction someplace. Maybe it was in Bermuda or someplace. And, they shut off the lights in this cave. And you're talking about literal pitch black darkness where you start to hear your own heartbeat.
Yeah, you can't see
anything
at all.
And that's very disorienting.
Yeah.
9 days of that would be a little hard to handle.
Yeah, so they were trapped on June 23rd. They didn't find out where they were until July 2nd and then just started bringing them out 3 days ago.
Phew.
Yeah, very scary.
It'd be miraculous. I think they're going to do it. I hope so. Knock on wood.
All right, let's do sports this morning.
tracks are yummy.
Philly rolls, cheesesteaks, baby cock, Will Smith, your town sucks.
My one particular effects unit locked up, so that's why you heard an understaffed, undermanned collection of effects.
Less sounds. The Phillies and the Mets split their doubleheader yesterday in Queens. In the first game, Wilmer Flores connected for a pinch-hit home run in the bottom of the 10th to give the Mets a 4-3 win in the opener. In the second game, Aaron Nola allowed one hit in seven shutout innings and hit a three-run double to lead the Phillies to a 3-1 win. One night after being named to his first All-Star team, Nola struck out 10 and won his sixth straight decision to become the only 12-game winner in the National League. He became the first Phillies pitcher with 12 wins and an ERA under 2.30, 89 games into a season since Grover Cleveland Alexander in 1916.
Yeah!
That's amazing. The series continues tonight, and game time is at 7:10. At the World Cup, the semifinals begin today with France playing Belgium in St. Petersburg at 2 o'clock. The Belgians are the tournament's top scorers and have won all of their matches so far. The teams have met 73 times before the Belgium winning. With Belgium winning on 30 occasions, France 24, and 19 matches drawn. At Wimbledon, number 7 seed Carolina Pliskova, who was the last remaining top 10 seeded player, fell to Kiki Bertens in straight sets in the fourth round. This is the first time since 1968 that there won't be a top 10 seed in the quarterfinals at the Grand Slam. However, Serena Williams, who was in the 25th seed in the tournament, beat qualifier Yevgenia Rodina 6-2, 6-2 to advance to the quarterfinals. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And that's McCoy this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Tuesday morning, and we're going to get right on with it because it's already 6:24. And we will have a couple of people on the program this morning. We are going to have Ian LaPerriere from the Flyers organization.
Very cool.
He's stopping in the studio. It's been a while since we've seen Lappy. Lappy, slappy, womp, womp. Which he's promoting the... That's from an old SNL bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Flyers Charity Classic, which is coming up on Sunday. And it's this really cool charity event and a chance for you to mingle with the players and staff that are around. And we'll get you the details when he gets here.
He's also going to tell us about his new career. He's doing a lot of reading for the Books on Tape series for Odyssey.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Thank goodness.
It's very cool.
We also have director Rob Reiner on the program. He's giving us a call. We talked to him not too long ago, but he's talking about the film Shock and Awe, which is in theaters on Friday. And he's got such a rich history in Hollywood and television. So we'll chat with him later on, and our friends from Dietz and Watson are stopping by because apparently next Wednesday is National Hot Dog Day.
What?
And they're celebrating it all month long, so they're bringing us some goodies, and we'll tell you more about that a little later on. And one of the most important things, if you missed it yesterday, two things are going on. We are headed to London, England in October. The Birds are playing a game at Wembley Stadium against the Jaguars. We will be broadcasting live from London. It's in late October, and we have your opportunity to join us for that event. You can win a trip courtesy of Miller Lights and the Green Legion. It's called London Calling with Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. And we'll get the details to you a little bit later on. But in conjunction with that, this morning we have a giveaway for a different Green Legion trip. And this is for the induction of Brian Hawkins into the NFL Hall of Fame. And this will be on Friday, August 3rd. And we'll set you up a two-night hotel, transportation from the hotel to Canton, because that's you're gonna go into Cleveland first. And then, of course, the Hall of Fame and the ceremony is in Canton. And there is a tailgate party, tickets to the induction ceremony. It should be very, very cool. So
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to give away a trip for that today, this morning, via a secret text where it, in fact, is already up and running, and you can register to win right now. Text the word secret to 39333. We're going to send a word back to you later on this morning. We'll ask you to call in with that word to identify the designated caller is going to get that trip to go to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony with Brian Dawkins, courtesy of Green Legion. And you can buy trips, by the way, for that event. Go to greenlegion.com or you can call 215-666-5940 and book that trip today. And then they have, of course, trips to Tampa, New Orleans, Dallas, L.A., D.C., Nashville, all for the Birds, and that trip to London. You can buy a trip as well, so keep that in mind.
You sound like you're from London.
So we will be broadcasting
yes.
live from there.
Yeah, I mean, and as you said yesterday, Preston, say you buy your trip and you actually go and go to one of the events and end up winning it, they'll refund your deal. You'll get it anyway.
You'll get credited.
Cool. Yeah.
So we'll get you the the locations when you can get registered for that London trip and tell you how that works a little bit later on. We'll go ahead and take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll start giving some stuff away. Stupid question and the entertainment report is coming up next. We will be right back. Casey's really trying to get somebody's attention in the other room.
Hey, coming up, Marissa's got a live commercial.
Hey, all right. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, special secret text word today on this Tuesday. We normally don't do it on Tuesday, but we have this trip with the Green Legion, whom we are going to London with later on this year. We'll tell you about that later on. But they have the Brian Dawkins Hall of Fame induction ceremonies coming up in August, and it's on Friday, August 3rd. And we have a trip for you to win with those guys. And it's, you know, it's travel, accommodations, all that stuff, food for the day of the event. Text word secret, 39333. We'll bounce a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in. Designate a caller will win if you know the word. So don't miss out on that opportunity. Secret to 39333. All right, I'm going to ask a stupid question. We're going to give away four tickets to the Keystone Truck and Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway. Everyone should know this answer.
All right.
I'm curious as to if Kathy knows this or not. But if you ever find yourself into trouble, I need to check and make sure that I've taught my kids this. But you should know it. All right. So in dots and dashes.
Yes.
Give me SOS in Morse code. 215-263 WMMR.
Good,
you don't
it down,
know it,
Kathy.
Do you, Kathy? If you ever find yourself into trouble and you have very no way to communicate with people, this can save your life. 215-263 WMMR. In dots and dashes, what is SOS in Morse code? Let's see if you know the answer. So birthday is today on Tuesday, July 10th. Sofia Vergara from Modern Family is 46 years old today.
She just posted a sort of like a throwback Thursday picture, though it was Monday yesterday.
Was she in a bikini?
She was in a bikini.
Oh, man.
From her earlier days of modeling. Dear God.
Yeah.
Dear God.
Yeah, she's perfection.
Absolutely.
And she's very funny.
She's very funny, and she's also one of the wealthiest women on TV currently.
Yeah.
One of the highest paid actresses.
And she's parlayed all the endorsement deals as well. And so she's really a savvy business person. 46 years old today. Another gorgeous one, Jessica Simpson. Not that long ago, the Dukes of Hazzard movie was on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just surfing, and I'm like, I'll sit here for a minute. And I happen to come along where the scene where she goes in and she finally needs to pry some information out of Enos.
Yes.
And she walks in. She's wearing a trench coat. She takes it off. She's wearing the bikini. Jessica Simpson, just a hard body. I mean, at that time.
She slayed it. And then I think she gets the information she needs within like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's a record.
Mm-hmm.
Though today I was looking at pictures of her currently. Kathy, she overdoes that smoky eye thing that like that really almost like quasi goth thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and it's a little annoying.
Her boobs are huge, by the way.
They are
now
more than ever. Now more than ever.
Yep.
CNN.
So the brand, her brand, apparently the Jessica Simpson collection. Nick just pulled this up. Has gone on to earn over $1 billion in revenue.
Is that wild?
Regarded as one of the most successful celebrity founded brands ever.
And you know what? She gets criticized a lot for her her styles, but clearly people are buying them and wearing them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it fell into that realm of maybe you don't want to go to like the Coach store or whatever or Louis Vuitton.
That's the thing.
Right.
I guess some of the Kardashian stuff was affordable too, but she made the affordable shoes and
jumped
bags
right in there. Yeah. And everyone followed suit.
The most comfortable high heels ever.
No
kidding.
Get out of here. Get the hell out of here. Get
fight.
Marissa and I could be not any different when purchasing shoes.
Okay.
No kidding.
Yeah, she has great shoes. She does.
She does. I
like her styles. I do, but I do not own a pair of them.
Okay.
Marissa will wear super high and hard to walk on heels, but she can rock them.
Yeah, totally.
Kathy,
yeah.
What do you think are the most comfortable high heels?
Skechers? No.
Herman Munsters. Herman Munsters.
No, there's a couple of brands that I like, Case, but I can't wear those and a few others.
You're wearing some heels today on your shoes.
Well,
were standing next to me, and I'm suddenly, what the hell's going on here?
This is also what where Marissa and I differ. I like the wedges.
I did not know you could lift your leg up that high.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Jesus, Kathy. No waiting, boys.
Nick Murphy, don't put that
put that on the web. Cam, now.
Press, you can do
that. Does that go all the way to your ear?
Yeah, I can put them behind my head.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, I can't,
You can do that thing where you can touch your
elbows. It makes anal bleaching so much easier.
Yeah, I can touch my elbows behind my back, too.
Kathy just lifted her leg up above the console so I could see it. I'm like, can you do both of those at the same time?
Listen, yoga is paying off, okay?
Do both legs. Yeah, that's right. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, my God. One little Tuesday treat right
now.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Now put your legs down. Yeah, that's better.
All right. Anyway. Enough about shoes.
Okay, anyway.
Jessica Simpson's
30. Thanks for that, though.
Third? That was impressive.
A little shoe chat.
Adrian Grenier from Entourage. And other films is 42 today.
So what the hell is he doing now?
Don't really know.
He'd done a few documentaries.
He was great,
very popular.
The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, yeah.
And a few other films. But
I mean, the one documentary is about, what, trying to find his dad or...
I think so, yeah.
With his dad or something like that.
Nick is pulling up
his... I can't even find his... How do you spell his name?
It is spelled G-R-E-N-I-E-R. Yeah, you have it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him, Steve. There was a trailer on the iTunes page, and it looked awful. This movie that he's going to be in.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Affairs of State. I think it was direct to Netflix or something like that. And I was watching this trailer, and I was like, oh, my God, that's Adrian Grenier. And, yeah, it's not even... It's not going to make it to theaters.
You know, it's funny though. In the series Entourage, he was in the Aquaman movie,
yeah,
which
right.
has since come to really pass.
Yeah, and they got more of a stud to play Aquaman.
Yeah, yeah.
Adrian Grenier is 42, and then the last birthday I saw is Ron Glass, Barney Miller.
I was just watching Barney Miller last night on Antenna TV. Preston,
yep.
Have you ever gone over there to Antenna TV?
Not really. Spent any time there? No.
They showed the low grade the shows that were shot on video that looked just terrible. But Barney Miller was on. It was actually still pretty funny.
Okay. I have terrible cable when I go down the shore, and so all I can really watch is MeTV and Antenna. And I end up watching Antenna more because they have like 80s sitcoms.
Yeah,
like, so give me a break. But God, they play the saddest commercials.
5 minute
yes.
ASPCA commercials. It just horrifying. That or there is my catheter makes my urethra bleed.
And why do they are? They're so long.
Oh, the animal. I checked out. Listen, I do enough animal charity that I get a pass now.
Yeah, it's enough.
So I can turn away and not feel like a prick. I turned away and back like 9 times, and this thing was still running. The last thing was like a Shetland pony with diphtheria. I'm like, are we done yet?
By the way, Ron Glass is 73 today, so happy birthday to him. And then Nick pulled up one more. A lovely young lady we had in the studio one time, and we were all really impressed with her. Her name is Isabella Moner, or Moner.
Yes, yeah.
Is it Moner?
I think it's Moner.
She's 17 today. I actually follow her on Instagram because she was number one, super duper nice. Number two, you could just tell she's one of those people that had a ton of talent. She's beautiful. Great singer as well.
Yeah, yeah,
she's like
yeah.
this well-rounded actress. And I saw her, I forgot who she was posting pictures with, but her star is rising.
Yes.
So she was in the last
Transformers
film, which was why she was here. But she's going to be one of those, I'll bet you, that may be a star for a good stretch.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, sorry.
Ron Glass is dead?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
What?
Oh, wow.
Dude,
no!
I normally don't do that.
I know.
But yeah, they got it incorrect in my prep, so...
It's okay, Preston. I forgive you.
Thank you, Detective Harris.
It's okay.
Okay. All right, yes.
God bless you, and God bless America.
He died right around Thanksgiving. Maybe we were going into Camp Out for Hunger, and we just missed it. Who knows?
I don't remember
these
things.
That's really why.
I rely on my prep And they got it wrong.
Sorry, Ron.
We've got to stop doing the Camp Out for Hunger.
It's been a wonderful tribute.
because we keep missing beloved Barney Miller character actors dying.
All right, I need to get an answer to this question. So let me do the stupid question here. In dots and dashes, what is SOS in Morse code? And I will go to, let's try Bob on the phones. Hey, Bob, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Preston?
Doing great, Bob. So, SOS in Morse code, please give it to me.
What is dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot?
What is your correct?
Yeah.
Yep, hang on just a second, Bob. Yeah, Kathy, three dots, three dashes, and three dots. So if you ever find yourself and you have to just make some noise to get some help, you go... That's me banging
Except
on the counter.
For the person on the other end isn't going to know.
We will rock you. Yeah. What's that, Kathy?
The person on the other end isn't going to know.
Sure they will.
Okay.
It's pretty well known. It's pretty well known. So it's the international distress signal.
It's always, for the longest time, it was falsely reported that the first time it was used was for the Titanic, but it had been used years before that.
Sure.
Yeah, but
So anyhow, we are going to set him up with a 4-pack of tickets for the Keystone Truckin' Nationals at Maple Grove Raceway, July 20th and 21st. You can visit MapleGroveRaceway.com for tickets and information. All right, got a few minutes here. Let me get right into some stuff. Robin Wright has granted her first interview that touches on the sexual misconduct allegations leveled against her former co-star Kevin Spacey.
She fully endorses it.
To today's Savannah Guthrie on NBC, Wright is promoting House of Cards in its sixth and final season. That's why everybody's asking her about this. It's set to premiere on Netflix. The giant streaming service gave Spacey the boot, of course, after multiple men accused Spacey of misconduct, including some members of the crew on House of Cards. In the interview, Wright distances herself from Spacey, claiming that they were just basically co-workers. They weren't friends or they weren't so close that they really shared personal information.
On the set, they would have exchanges. Yeah. They would talk. It was part of the deal. It was a co-worker, basically, but they never palled around. She was unaware of this stuff.
She said, "We never really socialized outside of work." Despite allegations of misconduct on the set of House Cards and previous reports that Spacey's behavior was common knowledge, she said the cast and crew were, quote, all surprised, of course, and ultimately saddened. She said that she has not spoken to him since his disappearance from Hollywood. He's reportedly seeking some kind of treatment. Kevin, she said, and I knew each other between action and cut and in between setups where we would giggle. I didn't know the man. I knew the incredible craftsman that he is.
I would pay to see Kevin Spacey giggle.
anyhow, that's what she says her relationship was like with him.
They are saying there's an article. I was reading an article about the likelihood of these various people that were immediately pegged, no pun intended, during this whole onslaught of accusations. And they actually rate Kevin Spacey as a possibility for coming back and getting a career.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't know if I agree with that, but that's what they're saying.
Hey, Stan Lee is dropping his $1 billion lawsuit against Powell Entertainment for fraud 2 months after the suit was filed in his name. This is according to a statement that Lee said, "The whole thing has been confusing to everyone, including myself and the fans, but I am now happy to be surrounded by those who want the best for me. And I'm thrilled to put the lawsuit behind me, get back to business with my friends and colleagues at POW, and launch the next wave of amazing characters and stories." POW CEO Shane Duffy added, "We're ecstatic that this ill-founded lawsuit has been dismissed. And we look forward to working with Stan again to develop and produce the great projects that were put on hold when the lawsuit was filed. We recently got together with Stan to discuss our path forward. And we and Kim Singh are pleased with his overwhelmingly enthusiastic reaction."
I wonder what his personal wealth is currently valued at, because he was sort of robbed of a lot of money over the years with the sort of shady deals and stuff that he was closed out of. But, you know, he's got to have a lot of loot.
I saw one time I was watching Pawn Stars, and a guy brought in a Stan Lee autograph, a sketch that he had done, and one of the comics and so forth. And it really wasn't worth that much, because there was a point when comics weren't hip and cool. You know, back in the 80s, they were, you know, successful, but they weren't what they are now. And he went through a period where he would do every single possible appearance he could just to make a buck.
So there's a lot of them out there.
There's tons of autographs and sketches and stuff, and it just wasn't worth that much money.
Right.
So there was a period where he really, and I wonder if his business sense was part of that reason, you know, that he was dip down, and maybe that's just... Well, here's a stat that we have for you. Steve Stanley has worked for Marvel for 65 years. As of May, his net worth is $50 million, according to the Celebrity Net Worth's website, which, by the way, they're way off on those websites.
You think so, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So $50 million seems rather low for that amount of time and all the various franchises he's associated with.
By the way, Steve, his cameo in Ant-Man and the Wasp is my favorite cameo.
Is it really?
Yes.
It was funny.
It was funny. Yeah. That was my favorite one so far.
So anyhow, he's moving on, and this news comes on the heels of a judge granting a restraining order to protect Lee and his family against a memorabilia collector who allegedly embezzled the assets worth $5 million or more.
You know, they're trying to get from him, Preston. He has a Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden baseball card.
Those are worthless.
At least and
$8 or $9.
They are clearly
George Washington Motor Lodge.
I was there too, Nick. I got my signatures. Stan? Stanley? Oh, I'm a big fan.
Hey, the engagement of Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin may seem sudden, but the pair have actually known each other for several years.
Well, anyone in the know, as am I, could tell you that.
A source close to the 24-year-old singer confirmed to CNN that he and the 21-year-old model got engaged over the weekend. But here's a look back on how their relationship developed over time.
Take us on a journey, if you would.
In 2011, a 14-year-old Baldwin and her actor father, Stephen Baldwin, joined a 16-year-old Bieber on the red carpet for the premiere of his biopic Never Say Never in New York City that February. Is that where they got Never Stop, Never Stopping?
I'm sure it's one of the inspirations.
Because Never Say Never was the name of his
Never Stop.
Never stopping. In 2014, in November, the pair were reportedly photographed along with Kendall Jenner at the New York City location of Hillsong Church. And there is much made about the fact that they are members of the same church. Bieber attends the Los Angeles location.
There you go.
After photos of them started together started romance rumors buzzing. Baldwin shut them down when she spoke to E! News in December 2014. Around that time, Bieber also issued a denial of his on his official Instagram page. In 2015, the pair rang in New Year's Eve together with friends, as evidenced by his Instagram account. By February of that year, Baldwin was still having to address speculation that they were more than friends.
But they've always sort of been weaving in and out of a relationship because, as you know, he's been with Selena Gomez, too, over the years.
Well, in December 2015, again, they brought in the New Year together, and the video of Bieber sticking his wet finger in Baldwin's ear during the holiday.
Thank God you said here.
In Anguilla is now famous among fans.
It's absolutely famous. In fact, I have a lithograph of it over my fireplace.
In 2016, they were officially a couple, and in January, fans lose it after Bieber posted a photo of them smooching. He told GQ that Baldwin is someone I really love. We spend a lot of time together.
She's not whack.
And in May of this year, Baldwin told the UK The Times that she and Bieber had a tense time after their 2016 breakup. We didn't speak for quite some time, and there was a lot of weirdness that went on, she said. But it brought, he kept sticking his finger in her ear.
Yeah.
And it was driving her crazy.
Wet willies.
Yeah. But it brought both of us to the realization we just work much better as friends. He's somebody I really cherish. Now it's a very mature situation. It's good. But yeah, but that was in May, and now they're engaged.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not that long after he and Selena Gomez went their separate ways. Love is so fickle.
Isn't it, though?
Absolutely. So, especially when you're Justin Bieber.
You think they'll actually get married?
I think they might. Okay. Yeah, he is. He's really pretty. He's on that religious path now.
He?
I think he really wants to mature up and stop egging houses.
What religion requires you to have a terrible mustache? Because
he's one of those guys who can't make a mustache come in properly.
He's trying.
Yeah, it's not working.
But he's also, he's also got the cred where even if it looks lousy, it'll probably inspire people to have lousy mustaches.
Like me.
You have a lousy mustache?
Look at this. It's terrible.
Your mustache is not bad at all.
Yeah.
Better than Bieber's.
You look like you trimmed it down a little bit.
I did. It was kind of, it's going, you know.
Yeah, hanging over.
Yes.
Getting in your food.
Yes.
It happens. Okay, so this is terrible. Police at Los Angeles International Airport detained Jonathan Rhys Meyers Sunday after he got into a vicious verbal altercation with his wife. And then vaping in the bathroom on an American Airlines flight.
Vaping in the bathroom.
Sources tell the gossip outlet that he and his wife, Marilane, were on a flight from Miami to L.A. with their one-year-old son, Wolf, when Meyers became verbally abusive.
Quiet.
He became verbally abusive to Lane. TMZ reports that other passengers were upset by his profanity-laced meltdown. To make matters worse, after he blew up, he went to the bathroom to smoke an e-cigarette, which is a federal violation. He had reportedly been drinking, and police detained and questioned him, but released him after the FBI declined to press charges on the vaping
incident. He's had run-ins with
a long history of substance abuse.
Substance abuse and alcoholism. Yeah.
And also, mental instability. He was suicidal at one point, right?
Yeah.
That's sad.
His wife had said that he really struggles with depression, and he had relapsed after she suffered a miscarriage in September. So he's got some real issues. He's a really good actor, too.
He is.
Hopefully he gets the treatment or medication that he needs to get back on
track. He's the person that I most get confused with when people see me out. They always think I'm him. No, I understand, though.
Well, that's so troublesome.
Yeah, it is when you look like a really good-looking guy.
Hey, Steve, we were just talking about this guy the other day. This is sad. Tab Hunter.
Yep.
1950s heartthrob, most famously portraying Joe Hardy in the movie Damn Yankees, has died. He was 86 years old. He died from a blood clot.
Why were you guys talking about him the other day?
He is the subject of a documentary about the fact that he was gay, mm-hmm. and he was the ultimate California surfer heartthrob for millions and millions of women.
Zachary Quinto is behind that film.
Yes.
About him.
About him and his relationship. He had a long relationship with Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, who was from Psycho.
Norman. Okay.
So he was closeted almost his entire life,
but in this,
which is sad.
In this documentary, and if you get a chance to watch it, it's so good because he's self-deprecating. He has fun with his life. And though there's a sad part to have him having to spend so much time closeted.
Yep.
But the guy had a great outlook.
I love Damn Yankees. I saw the movie with him, and I saw the Broadway play with Bebe Neuwirth. And it's such a great story. And if I'm not a big musical fan, but he's really great in the movie.
A Facebook page linked to him said, "Sad news, Tad passed away tonight, 3 days shy of his 87th birthday. Please honor his memory by saying a prayer on his behalf. He would have liked that." And he also did a lot of TV shows throughout the 70s and so forth. He was on $6 Million Man and The Love Boat and Benson and stuff like that. Sad news.
Was it Tab Hunter or was it Troy Donahue who was the husband of Connie in Godfather 2?
Oh, you know,
it might have been Troy Donahue.
Troy Donahue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember because
I don't know this man.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's sitting there, Michael's sitting there in front of her saying, "You can't marry him."
Right.
I don't know him.
I don't know him.
Yeah. Nick is looking it up.
It's probably Troy Donahue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sad news about Tab Hunter. What else I have here for you? Prince Louis. Louis.
Yes. Yeah.
Prince Louis, the third child of Duke and Duchess of Cambridge and fifth in line to the throne, has been christened at a private ceremony at the Chapel Royal in St. James Place.
Did you hear who showed up?
No.
God.
No. St.
God showed up.
Palace, not St. James Place. That's a property in Monopoly. It's in Atlantic City.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a man with a monocle and a large mustache there.
You get to New York and Jameson, you get yourself a little Monopoly.
Yeah, you get the full Monopoly.
Yeah.
And then you put hotels and, oh, man.
New York, it's underrated, New York Avenue, because I think it's $1,000 with a hotel. Steve, you know all this.
God, do I love Monopoly.
This is St. James Place. It's one of the orange properties, if I recall correctly.
But yes. I think that's only $800 with a hotel.
Okay. I want to play that game just before I get hit by a bus.
Most royals were in attendance, including, of course, Mom Kate Middleton and Dad Prince William, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, but Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip were not available to attend.
Snooki was there.
Reports indicate that their absence was due to Philip's ill health. The 97-year-old retired from public life last September and has only appeared for a few public occasions since.
I don't want to go to this.
The 92...
I do not want to go. I do not want to put my suit on. I hate children and I hate you. Do not make me go to this. I promise you, I will smear feces on the wall.
Oh, Jesus.
Do not make me go.
That's the promise.
Yeah.
That's the threat.
That's
he'll
the threat.
Smear poop on the walls.
Kate and Meghan looked great, but Pippa looked terrible.
She's pregnant.
She looked like her dress was. I just was not into it.
And so she's pregnant right
she's
now.
She's pregnant.
So
yeah.
Oh, she
okay.
is.
Yes, that's
right.
why.
But,
Making
well,
fun of a pregnant woman.
No. The other two, Kate was pregnant three times. She never looked like that.
So.
Pippa!
Wow. Very she's dowdy, also a princess.
Like grandmommy.
Well, yeah. It is an unflattering maternity dress.
Yeah.
The 92-year-old queen has also cut back on appearances, handing some of her duties to her heir, Prince Charles.
She is trying to start a version of British Ninja Warrior, and she's been training.
That's why she couldn't make it. Yeah. She was training.
If you'd like to know what the talk was on the fashion,
please.
Everyone was discussing how everybody was matchy-matchy. They all wore the same color shoes and dress.
I actually noticed that. That's kind of...
They all had Guardians of the Galaxy T-shirts.
Wow. Well, they're famous. Look it.
I'm Groot.
Look it.
It was under Pippa's grandma dress.
I'm Groot. Since you queried, I go by the name Groot.
Who knew? All right, I have two more quick stories for you. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is getting some much-needed chill time after completing cancer treatment. She and her husband, Brad Hall, are currently vacationing in Hawaii.
She looks spectacular.
And she is still somehow able to happily rock a bikini months after finishing chemo. Yeah, she's always been in great shape, man.
Listen, I can still wear a bikini, but I got to do a little tucking, I'll be honest.
She even posted a cute selfie from the beach. And then one last story, and I should have gotten to this yesterday, and Nick was the first one to send it to me because it was directly related to his nephew. But Gal Gadot popped up at Inova Health Children's Hospital in Virginia wearing her full Wonder Woman regalia. And this is, Nick, it's your nephew's...
That's his hospital.
His hospital, yeah.
He has leukemia, and so this is a children's hospital near Falls Church, Virginia. And so my brother sent me the story because Gal Gadot was literally on the oncology ward where my nephew had spent a lot of time.
How sensational. And she was in the actual, the legitimate movie. She didn't stop by, you know, a costume shop and pick up a Wonder Woman costume. She came right from the set in the full deal. And she looked fantastic.
And my brother was saying that you get to know a lot of the nurses and the doctors when you spend that much time there, that they just were on cloud nine, that she could not have been more friendly. You know, she's the real deal.
She's the greatest. Steve, there was a video of her on Instagram last week of her going down a, like a backyard water slide. Did you see that?
Yeah, of course.
Having fun is just really
She's
sweet.
Just like us.
She's so cute.
She's just like
she's
us.
She's not just stunningly gorgeous. She's really
she's cute.
Cute.
Yeah. And she does cute things.
Yeah.
She probably smells good.
I'm going to guess maybe.
No,
would it be horrible if she smelled like rotting fish?
Yes, she smells like burnt rubber, Preston. Yeah. Israeli burnt rubber. I'll tell you this. The fact that she is so good with her fan base and the fact that she is so nice, the personality is so much in this case, and that's what makes it wonderful.
Her.
Yeah, look at this.
I love her. So the kids were delighted, and the doctor at the hospital specializing in congenital heart disease captioned a group shot on Twitter and said, thank you, Gal Gadot, for visiting us at Inova Health Children's Hospital. You are a true Wonder Woman. The kids loved it, and so did the staff.
Gal, don't leave yet. I think you might have a vaginal problem.
What?
Excuse me? Get up on the table.
Does he need to check her boobs?
Yeah. I'm going to weigh them both. Okay.
Gal is in the area shooting the upcoming Wonder Woman sequel.
Oh, she's
Wonder
shooting
Woman
it there.
84, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So that, I get, or portions of it, I guess,
that's
are
cool.
happening there. So.
What city?
It's right near Falls Church in Virginia, not too far from Washington, D.C. And just side note, that place, just like CHOP here in Philadelphia, they're miracle workers. They just
maybe they're doing some scenes that D.C. is filming going on all the time. So maybe she's in that area doing it. All right, let's do clip.
Clip.
No, just clip.
One clip?
That's all I see.
What?
Here. Clip. Laughs were a plenty on screen and off during the making of Ant-Man and the Wasp in this clip. Evangeline Lilly talks about trying to act while Goopal Paul Rudd pretends to shrink. Here we go.
Oh, it's so hard to keep a straight face because what you're seeing is Paul Rudd, closing his mask and then going, and he just hides. He goes, And he makes the noise, and he just shrinks down into a little ball, and then he pretends like he's not there. Sometimes he'd throw himself, like, behind a couch. Like, Paul, you can get up. I see you there. I know you're there.
Ant-Man and the Wasp is in theaters now.
She's great, and is she great in the movie? She's great in the movie.
I think she's better in this movie than she was in the first case. I don't know what you think.
I agree with you.
Yeah, she has a more expanded role as well, but she's I think she looks better with the longer hair.
Yeah.
And she pulls it off.
She's wasping out.
It is a fun movie, and that is what I have for you this morning in my entertainment report. Hey, you know what? Can I go ahead and give away some of these cases?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we have a screening. I'm looking forward to this, Steve. I just recently watched the first Equalizer movie. Damn, is that a good movie.
I've been a huge fan
for Casey as well, for a
mm-hmm. long time. It's so good, and I'm so excited about this one because, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks really good.
So Equalizer 2, we have a screening, and this is Monday at the UA Riverview at 7:30, and it doesn't open in theaters till the 20th. So we'll take five callers right now, and we will get you in attendance for that. 215-263-WMMR is the number. So it's Equalizer 2. Monday, July 16th at 7:30 at the UA Riverview. So good luck to you. We're going to take a break. Ian LaPerriere with Flyers stopping by this morning. Director Rob Reiner is checking in as well. And a few other things. We'll tell you about that trip to London, if you haven't heard yet, that we are going to be taking in October. And you could be on board for it. We'll be doing the live broadcast, the whole deal. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, thanks, Kath. Listen, a reminder, we have a trip with the Green Legion for Brian Dawkins' Hall of Fame induction ceremonies coming up on August 3rd. It's a secret text word secret to 39333, and that is transportation and accommodation and some food involved with a tailgate party before the event. And in conjunction with that, that's one of the things they've given us to give away. We here on the President and Steve Show are headed to London, England, and we'll be broadcasting live from there. And it's in and around the time that the Eagles are going to be playing the Jaguars at Wembley Stadium. It's called the Miller Lite London Calling with Green Legion and the Preston and Steve Show. The game itself is on October 28th, but we're headed out a few days early. So how do you win this trip? You go to a couple of events that are taking place. Actually, it's a dozen events that are going to be taking place. Live appearances, and when you show up, you can get registered to be a finalist. Now, at some of these appearances, we'll be giving away some prizes there, and if your name is drawn, then you can win a prize, and you'll be registered as a finalist for the trip, which we will draw from those names sometime in early September, I think, is when that's going to happen. So keep that in mind. When you go, if your name is drawn, you're one of the 12 finalists.
Well, by going to, you're going to hedge your bets a bit, obviously. And you can, I assume, go to a number of these functions,
right?
Go to every single one of them.
So the first one coming up is going to be on the 20th. And Marissa and the MM Army will be at Xfinity Live, 5 to 7 p.m. So a happy hour at Xfinity Live on July 20th. And let me see, Casey, is it just the highlighted ones?
That Marissa's at.
That's Marissa? Mm-hmm. Okay, and then why am I skipping the non-highlighted ones?
You're not.
Oh, okay, so it's just so I can differentiate between the two, because then Casey will not be on July 21st at Liberty Union, but the MMR.
So make sure you don't see him there.
Yeah, so make sure you don't see
Casey
there.
Make sure you don't see me there, but you can still register to win a trip.
Nice.
Okay. Are you doing any of these?
No.
Oh, it's Marissa or the MMR.
Marissa only.
I thought you were doing it.
So did I.
All right, so anyhow. Liberty Union on July 21st. Is there a list of all these online?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Do that.
Just go check it out.
Go to PrestonandSteve.com.
And it's laid out nicely. You'll understand how to do it. Basically, you got to show up to these events to register, and that's how you're going to have a shot at winning this trip. And it's been a long time since we've done something like this. Preston, I saw the Beverly Hillbillies. They went to London and had a great time. So
an episode where they went to London?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. So we will we'll see who ends up winning, and we're excited for the whole thing. There's a couple of pieces of audio that I would like to play for you. Steve, you stumbled across these.
Yes.
This is in Kansas.
Lawrence, which is apparently a small suburban area outside of Kansas City.
Okay.
And so this is one of these meetings here with the town where people can get up and speak their mind and suggest certain things that they'd like to see happen in their town. Okay. And this young man got up. And he had a take on legalizing prostitution because he felt, well, there's so much going on anyway that's close to it. Why not just
seal the deal.
So when you come before a board,
yes.
you have your chance. You have a few minutes to present whatever your issue may be or your suggestion, and you have to have your well thought out plan able to deliver to these people to hopefully sway them in the direction that you want to see things go.
It helps if they can sense your passion.
Yeah.
It helps if you have a logical argument. Mm-hmm. And this guy definitely prepped for this.
So he steps up to the mic, and here's what he had to say.
So I propose this. The city allows for licensed masseurs to give genital massages if the masseur and the client both agree to it. We let someone get naked and have every other part of their body touched and rubbed by a massage therapist. Hell, we let proctologists spend their day f***ing men and sticking things in. So if someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Oh my God. That really is as inspiring as FDR's speech on December 8th, 1941.
I love the last part of that. Hang on.
So if someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
If someone wants to yank a man's crank, I say let them do it.
Okay. And so by
this
time,
legit?
Well,
maybe.
You know what? I don't care. But he was definitely in front of this group. He was prepared. He seemed, and then he goes on. He, you know, it's not just enough to state that's your intent or what you'd like to see happen.
Yeah.
You have to provide.
You got
to
back it up.
Examples.
Yeah, some context.
Some context to it. Yes.
Here's clip two.
Picture this. A big old sweaty fat guy would get with your hand actually be that much worse than giving him a full body massage, getting up in there under the folds of fat, or being the proctologist sticking your finger.
Holy hell.
If a grown adult wants a job, another grown adult, and another grown adult is willing to give one for money, then let them. That would truly be a happy ending for everyone.
Okay.
Oh my God.
The crowd loved it.
Yeah. Does anybody know what this dude looks like?
I'm dying to know.
Yeah.
My guess, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, kind of.
So if someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
He sounds young enough that he's doing it as a gag for his friends,
but
kind of like that house party guy.
Well, yeah, and this is in Kansas, in Lawrence, Kansas, is where the University of Kansas is.
Okay.
So maybe he's a college student.
Maybe, but the house party guys, they sound like you can full on tell they're joking around.
Yeah.
This guy has enough in of his voice like this to make it almost sound like he's legitimate.
That he goes to the proctologist even when he doesn't have a checkup schedule.
Mm-hmm. There is, I think, legitimacy to his claim, by the way. Are we going there or are we not going there?
I want to hear. What do you think?
I like the way you
Casey started doing
a left like a velociraptor. All of a sudden.
His head was all going right, left and right. Are we going here?
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, why is that illegal?
Rub and tugs?
Yeah.
There is that. This is an age-old question about the. In fact, right before the Magna Carta was came into being, there was the rub and tug.
Well, it sort of goes along the lines of this, like, you know. And I'm going to draw like a quick little parallel with the legalization of marijuana. Okay, when it's illegal, then it's there are like darker undertones, right? And then you have cartels and shady dealings and all that sort of stuff. And it's sort of the same thing with...
I'll send you a TED Talk that I listened to about legalizing sex workers. And the benefits exist. And so when you take a country like the Netherlands, for example, and there are places like Amsterdam where there is legality to sex workers, the sex workers themselves have rights. There's less shadiness. There's fewer diseases. So there are upsides to it. There's also morality, and some people are against legalized prostitution because of the sex associated with it.
I see some issues with that, but then again...
So if someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Maybe you lied with that guy. I don't know.
I mean, there is a separation of church and state, right? So is morality a church thing?
Wow, this got a lot deeper.
Yeah,
I
know.
We were simply playing a goofball, who said, but you want to work out whether prostitution or the sex trade should be legitimized.
Well, maybe we should put them in malls.
Let's talk about abortion. Yeah. Let's lighten things up a bit.
Well, it's not
Yeah. Listen, it's not that all heavy. Right. It's not that
We're going to go lighter. Nick sent me this story, and this is from PhillyNews.com. It's a columnist named Kevin Riordan. Okay. Not Kevin Riordan.
Riordan, who works at the station, yeah.
Weekends here. But apparently the Burlington Center Mall is closing its doors. And it was labeled as, the headline was like the worst mall ever or
the
something
New
along
New Jersey's
lines.
Worst and saddest shopping mall is going out of business.
Saddest shopping
mall. These are quotes.
Yeah. Worst and saddest shopping mall. And
Preston, is this an indictment of capitalism over socialism?
I think it might be.
Should we go there?
Burlington Mall, Kath.
Okay.
I guess it was just one of these withering shopping centers that was just dying a slow death.
Yeah, and the main stores started closing off one by one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I they're sad, but they're also fun to walk around. When there's a mall that's sort of, and the malls in general, unless you're a robust mall like the KLP or some other ones, are you know, it's a whole different game. But those malls that you used, like the, Elvern Media,
the Granite Run.
I can't believe I'm already forgetting it. I haven't been to it in a long time. In its death throes, it was just wildly weird and
yes,
to walk around.
I agree.
It's like a ghost mall.
You know what was kind of like that for a little bit and then got it back together was Plymouth Meeting Mall. It was a death rattle for a while.
Yeah.
It's still dwindling?
You know what? I mean, they're trying
to revitalize it with restaurants around it.
Yeah, well, there's restaurants around it. And what they're trying to do on the inside is sort of make it more activity-based. So they noticed a lot of, there was a play center there and basically, that's the only reason people were going into that mall was to play at that little center. So they started adding more. They added Legoland, and now they have one of those
Escape the Rooms.
Room?
It's three Escape the Rooms, and it's a franchise. But you go, it looks really cool, Preston. So there's like a vault and stuff. And I was tempted to check it out, but you're right. On that level, you have Dave and Buster's, you have Legoland.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Dave and Buster's.
You have this place, so they're making it more experiential.
You can go out to eat, and then you can go into one of these activity places.
See, what happened over at Granite Run, though, Steve?
They brought in prostitution.
Are we going there?
Yeah.
All right.
And should it be legal? Honestly,
no. They lost like actual stores. And then they were opening other stores. They had a dinosaur museum. They tried to have a dinosaur museum.
What?
They had a dinosaur museum.
Yes. Yes. They tried.
They tried
to put a dinosaur museum in there. It didn't work.
We were told
there were going to be all sorts of higher end stores. And I guess, Kathy, you're more tied into the mall scene than are we. But that never came to fruition.
It never did. For a long time, that was supposedly their plan, but I think it switched, and I don't know that they ever really made an announcement, but like I said, that's what they're doing is this whole activity base. Now, there's also been word about what's going into the old Macy's.
What are they saying?
Well, originally they said it was going to be
a brothel?
No, that it was going to be a Whole Foods-like establishment, but there's no way that Whole Foods has to have some sort of contract with the complex that you put in another, like a Wegmans or something like that in there. Mm. But then there was word that it was going to be, not an REI, but like something along
sports related spatulas.
Yeah, something along the lines
like
of
Eastern
that.
Mountain Sports, like that.
Right.
Okay. I gotcha.
Well, listen, this mall, this Burlington County, Burlington Mall or whatever, was an actual mall. The saddest mall actually still exists, and it's called the McDade Mall. And even when it was in its heyday, it only had like one legit store. It had Kmart anchoring one side and Acme anchoring another, and there was an Orange Julius in there.
Okay.
But that was it.
Hey, was it considered more? Do you remember, Steve, in the days of yore, there were mini malls?
Mini. Yes. And I remember mini malls, and mini malls died a quick death.
Would that have been considered a mini mall, or is it still around, Casey?
It's still there, man. Wow. Well, we're looking at a video right now of...
Do you know what I find it to be like, Preston? Maybe you can connect with this. It'd be like walking around Pripyat, the city that was set up outside of Chernobyl.
Yeah.
That's like, something was here once,
Yeah.
There was a center for commerce.
Let me get a couple of calls here. I have Jamie, lives near Burlington Mall. Hi, Jamie, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Jamie?
That mall has not been dying a slow death. It's been dying for years.
It's been dead for years?
Oh, yes. I'm 34, and That mall has been dead for at least 15 years.
All right, meaning nothing was open in there at all?
I mean, they opened a Cold Stone Creamery a couple of years ago and a sunglasses.
All right, so now I consider that a slow death. It's dead now. I mean, like, they're shutting the whole thing down. No more businesses in there at all. But it's been, you know, it's had a very faint pulse for a long time.
And it's sad. It's, you know, that sort of vibe, because there were jobs and there were people there, and now there's potted plants and benches and
right.
And Jamie, is it a bunch of like older people doing their morning walk in the mall?
Yes.
No, even the old people don't show up because it's not cool.
It's nothing to look at.
That's ridiculous. I don't want to look like a loser.
Somebody bought the mall in 2012. And they're going to turn it into, like, condominiums, but, like...
Isn't that what's going up at the Granite Run Mall site, right? I think it's all gone, and there's the higher-end condominiums going up, is what I heard.
They're putting up condos, and they're turning it into, like, an outdoor mall, like a town center.
Those are cool. Collegeville has that. That's our kind of go-to outdoor shopping area, mm-hmm. and Premium Outlets, Philadelphia Premium Outlets near
they're
the
great.
Limited Power Plant. Yeah,
Nexon has that
as well.
So those are more the thing now. But as a kid, my whole social existence...
You went to the mall.
Was the mall.
Yeah.
Because your mom could drop you off there. You had food, you had entertainment, you had shopping. There was usually a movie theater, an arcade.
Prostitution.
You could hang around there all day and be okay. And just... Yep.
Air-conditioned.
I would virtually panhandle. If I ran out of money, I'd go around and try...
Would
and
you?
Find, well, I mean, I like go looking in arcade games and see if there's any change.
Well, put down a cup and start dancing.
You know? Yeah.
People start tipping.
But you could survive.
Sure.
Oh, and it was a big deal if, like, somebody from another school district that wasn't close to our mall showed up. We're like, why are they at our mall?
Why are you doing?
They have their own mall.
That's our turf.
Yeah.
Kathy would be there with her pink ladies jacket on.
What was your mall?
Oxford Valley Mall. And you know what? That struggled for a little while, too. As a kid, it was great. Kind of went downhill a little bit. And then years ago, we actually started doing some stuff there when we went and sang Christmas carols, you know?
Yeah. Really nice. I like that mall, yeah.
You know what, Kathy, we should do sometime as a follow-up. I know people thought we threw you a softball with Busco versus Delco. We put you over Oxford Valley Mall.
No,
Neshaminy Mall. I'm sorry,
and that was never my mall.
We should do a whole
mall tour
of helicopter and have you fly over and see if you can and identify all the malls in the area from the air.
Well, the pilot actually on the way back took me over another mall, and he goes, "What mall's that?" I was like, "Willow Grove."
You should take me all over the Delaware County malls. I'll be good. That's the Springfield Mall. And that's the only one that exists.
By the way, so other malls that are being rebooted or remade include, and I think this is mainly, these are in New Jersey, the former Echelon Mall is now the Voorhees Town Center.
Oh, the Voorhees Town Center.
And the Moorestown Mall, where residential development is a possibility. So there are other ones. But some still do fairly well. There are some that live for some reason or another, and they haven't died out. I mean, King of Prussia Mall is still expanding. That's a whole other ballpark.
Well, I believe actually also on a dollar basis, it's the most lucrative mall in the country, even over the Mall of America as far as money generates. So, I mean, you know, there's still money to be had if the stores and the way it's put together is done properly.
And its location is
key. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. KOP does really well. A bunch of people are texting in, and I agree. The Coventry Mall is struggling, and that's the one out by Pottstown. And that's sort of like this Burlington one. You know, it looks like the stores are slowly leaving. And once they start...
Where's the Orange Julius?
It's not really a mall unless you have an Orange Julius.
When I lived in Delaware County, the Concord Mall in Delaware is where we would go to because it was fairly close to where I lived.
Tax-free shopping.
Tax-free shopping there. I have no idea how it's doing now, though.
Is that the one that has the Independence...
Pretty well.
Has the what?
Independence Hall in it or Independence Mall?
No.
That's where the Declaration of Independence was signed?
No, but that's where we would go to Melting Pot.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little further down towards Wilmington.
It's on 202.
Yeah.
And it's a recreation
of the... It's a recreation of Independence Mall. It's really cool.
Are you kidding?
No. Wow. Oh, it's pretty awesome.
Okay. What do they sell?
I don't know, but you can get great fondue right next door.
Great fondue.
Okay, so I found this on...
Ben Franklin, come try some of this melted cheese.
I found this on morethanthecurve.com, and it says that the people that owned the Plymouth Meeting Mall went to the Plymouth Township Council. This was in the end of May, he wrote this. And they said that they're asking to divide that space where the old Macy's is, and it looks like it's going to be 4 retail units and 2 restaurants.
Wait, what part is? Where Macy's is?
Where the old Macy's was.
Four retail units and two restaurants?
Yes, so like, you know, it was one big store, but they went to this council meeting to see if they could divide it up.
Okay.
When I go to a mall, I you know, some sort of electronics place, something, you know, like an Apple store or something, you know, there are a couple of things I look for that will make me happy to go to that mall.
Right.
If they don't have it, you know, listen, I like Orange Julius as much as the next guy, but I'm not hopping in the car for that.
Well, nowadays you got to have an Auntie Anne's in any mall.
Yes, yeah.
By the way, there's a website called deadmalls.com.
Oh, my gosh.
I have not gone on this yet, but I am intrigued. Right. And then secondly, what was the other thing? I was going to point out.
Come on.
I'll have to remember in a minute. Sorry.
See, what I would like to see them do to a mall that's dying. Okay, go.
All right, I'm sorry.
Shut up.
No, because Marissa sent me this like 2 weeks ago, and it's not a mall, but there's a legendary trade place called Zurn's.
Oh, Zurn's, yeah.
It's going out of business.
What?
That's what Marissa sent me an article about that.
Why? So, and it's only open on the weekends anyway, right?
Zurn's is in Gilbertsville, I think, or it's out that way.
Is it like a farmer's market?
No, it's like a flea market.
Flea market, for used flying saucers.
Right, no.
Zurn runs it.
Zurn.
He's from Nebulon 5.
But I've never been to Zurn's, but I've heard it's legendary.
What's it going to take to put you and your family in this?
It's kind of like, what's the amusement park that's out in
Knoebels?
Yeah, it's like I hear it's like Knoebels.
Yeah,
the Knoebels of malls.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Where
there's some good things about it, but there's also some things that are like, meh.
What do they sell? What is
anything and everything?
Okay,
I think it's a flea market. You know what? You're asking the wrong guy.
It's a farmer's market.
It's a flea market, a farmer's market. Preston's right. It's a little bit of everything. You get antiques. You can get pies. You can get tchotchkes. You can get whatever somebody is selling, and they can set up tables. And it's really good food, but it's not a modern selling mechanism.
It's kind of like thrifty stuff.
Sounds like Booth's Corner. You guys ever been there?
Booth's Corner is a Q-Mart. Quaker Town Mart. It's
Q Mart. Yeah, that's similar
same exact
to that
thing.
Too. Yeah,
and you're right, Case. They're only open on Friday and Saturday. This Zurn's.
Yeah,
it's where you can still get your Heather Thomas posters, Preston.
Steve, exactly.
Adrian Barbeau posters.
Founded in 1922, Zurn's Farmers Market is one of the oldest farmers markets in the United States of America. Nick, can you check on the legitimate?
I have a dream to sell a bunch of crap in a big place.
Legitimacy on it closing or shutting down?
No, yeah, the 6ABC was reporting it, and then here the morning call.
Okay.
As of last month, though, June, they were still opened.
Hold
on. My dearest sweetheart, I one day hope to sell a whole bunch of crap over 5-6 acres and have suckers come by and pay premium dollars for stuff they'll never use.
Now, places like that do serve a purpose.
Here, Jack knows why Zurn's is closing. Hi, Jack. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
V. Gates. How you doing, Preston?
Great. What did you say?
Did you say V. Gates?
V. Gates.
Oh, yeah,
that means, how's it going in German, which is a common phrase on the Preston and Steve show.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Movie, yeah.
All right,
but anyway, what's happened with Zurn's, there's going to be a housing project put there.
Okay.
And it's been years going on. There was an older gentleman that passed away that owned a bunch of property, and then he passed, so now it's all coming to fruition. But the best thing about Zurn's, if you talk to anybody that's been there years before, was the man with the naked lady sunglasses.
Naked lady sunglasses.
Oh, the novelty sunglasses? Oh, I love stuff like that.
There was a guy there. He was there for like 40 years, and he was just like a train market of place. But you should really go over on a Friday night and get the fried Oreo cookies.
Okay, so the food was good?
Fried Oreo cookies, okay.
Oh, yeah, they're non-fattening, of course.
Yeah, of course they are, yeah, zero fat. Excellent. All right, thanks, Jack. I mean,
honestly, you can go anywhere for fried Oreos, and they're all pretty much the same. So.
Hey, by the way, at Q-Mart, Casey had mentioned, years ago I went there, and Steve, there was when you go in, basically there's stalls you go into, small storefront areas, and a dude had a huge alligator in there.
He died.
The gator died?
Gator died.
Because you were there not long then.
I was there.
I told you to look for the gator.
And
you asked about it?
Yeah, I asked about it. And
dude, it was big.
Yeah, he's dead.
You had to bring up the gator.
And they had...
in therapy.
They had a slot car track there, which was
pretty
cool.
Oh, they still have that there. Oh, yeah.
I got a monkey with gingivitis.
They also, they had a candy store that had all
the old candies that you love. And
in fact, from like 30 years ago, a lot of those places have things that they haven't. It's like you know, any of those flea markets have a product line. They never swap the stuff out. They just wait until it sells out.
Well, we had prior to me going there, because I had an event there. It was a ticket. No, it wasn't a ticket. Either way, it was a What a Crock event. I went there, and we had just been talking about Bomb Pops, and I hadn't had a Bomb Pop probably since the 80s, and they had Bomb Pops there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Casey boy. I thought you should have won the Academy Award for your part in this documentary, which I own. The Bazaar, man.
Yeah, the Bazaar of All Nations.
What is this?
To this day.
Yeah, they made a documentary about the Bazaar of All Nations, which, for all intents and purposes, was the first mall ever in America.
There were so many questions that were submitted for Delco versus Buxco that had to do with the Bazaar.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about it, but I guess it closed a few years ago, right?
Not a few years ago. Probably, and maybe I should have known this, at some point after 1993,
okay,
it closed.
And what was the what was this place about? It was like a the prototype of a mall.
A prototype of a mall, but kind of had more of a feel of, like, you know, what we were talking about earlier with the Q-Mart and stuff like that. So, all right.
Was just it sort indoors?
All indoors, all mom and pop shops indoors, and, you know, it had like a little mini arcade. You know, a place to get your records.
I remember you
model
asked,
airplanes.
I watched the recap of Buxco versus Delco, and you were like, "I wish you would have asked something about the Bazaar."
Yeah,
And there was one question in which somebody asked, "What was the name of the place that sold rock T-shirts that was there?" And it was called Rock Tees.
Understand what these places are like, you're basically chose in the basement of this building if it was mall size.
Sure.
You're one stop shopping for VHS tapes and condoms.
Yeah.
And by the way, Zurn's is closing September 30th of this year.
It's sad in a way, but though I am in our, it is kind of fun to go walk around and see something like that, you know, because it's a blast from the past.
Yeah. So when the Grand River Mall was dying and it was empty, I thought it would have been so cool to open up like a paintball thing in there.
That's a good idea.
Because paintball is always outdoors with woods and stuff like that. What about paintball urban assault? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I
think
it.
That would be neat.
That's
you
a
know,
good idea.
Just kind of be able to, like, you could perch up top and pick people off down below.
Here's
all that sort of
here's
stuff.
What I'd like to ask, because this is always a little bit of a fantasy of mine as a kid. The Burlington Center Mall, since you're closing, if it's wide open, let me come in there and ride a go-kart around inside.
Because
I always wanted to ride a go-kart inside a mall.
Really?
I don't know why. I just thought it would be so... As a teenager, I'm like, dude, what if we went in at night and nobody was there and we had go-karts and we could
ride all
over
the place? Blues Brothers?
That's what I was saying. I think it stems from that.
Yeah.
I think
I was thinking they have a police chase through it in full vehicles through a mall.
And a few years ago, that mall closed. I remember when we reported on the story.
What mall was that?
I don't know. Somewhere in
that mall had everything, though.
Yeah.
Pier 1 Imports.
Disco pants and haircuts.
There was a well-known shopping center in Bucks County, which I thought you were going to ask me about, that, you know, went under years ago. But there was it was known because it had a Pomeroy's.
Pomeroy's? That sounds familiar. What is that?
Yeah, it was. I think Boscov's purchased Pomeroy's. So it was Pomeroy's and then turned into a Boscov's. And now, you know, they kind of wiped it out. There was a movie theater there. And it's a whole new complex with a big Walmart in there.
I'm going to go to Chris, wants to comment on a different mall. Hi, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, there's one called the Phillipsburg Mall. It's, I don't know if you guys know where Easton's at, but it's right across from Easton.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this mall.
Yeah, because it's dying.
Yeah, it's dying.
Wait, Easton? I'm not thinking of Exton, am I?
You're thinking of Exton. Easton is...
Easton, where the Crayola factory is. It's like right next to it.
Okay.
Like over in Jersey. And you go in there, and like every store's closed. And the fixtures are still there, so you can see that there was a Deb there and this there. And then you go into the one part, and there's like one little section where there's like three or four stores.
And
an awesome record store on the one side.
Huh.
They sell books, CDs, everything. And then on the opposite side, there's this like shady-looking flea market.
Okay.
That you go in there and there's all these different booths set up and like you can buy all sorts of like junk and
opioids.
Do people go, Chris?
There was a bunch of people in that flea market when we went.
Okay.
And the, and the record store. But other than that, like, I swear I saw a rat run across the
ground. Well, that's the mascot. That's the mole mascot.
I mean, it's interesting. Thanks for your call, by the way. If you've ever worked at a dying business before, I did. There was a restaurant, a pizza joint. It was just terrible. Pizza sucked. It was just terrible.
It was the name of the place.
And we got to the point where it just, business after it opened, you know, I started working there right away when it opened. But like 6 months later, it just started fizzling out and you literally went there and you just sat there all day long and didn't do anything. Oh,
can everyone come into the back room?
It was great.
We make crappy pizza. No one's buying it.
For me, you know, it was like 19 years old.
Yeah, it was
fantastic. I didn't do anything all day long. But for some people, it would be mind-numbingly boring.
Yeah.
We'd play dough baseball. We'd take the dough and wad it up, and we'd play baseball in the pizza
with a rolling pin.
Rolling pin as the bat, and there was a hole in the drop ceiling that you try to hit them. There was a home run if you hit the ball in the hole in the drop ceiling.
So there's just tons of time on your hands.
Oh my God, nothing to do for hours and hours, and it's got to be like that at some of these fizzling malls.
I mean, Preston, you should be able to get a go-kart ride in one. We had this many malls that are dying in the death throes. You should be able to get into one.
Did you see? I don't know if they still have them, but at the Plymouth Meeting Mall, they had those big, huge, like furry stuffed animal things you could ride on.
Yes.
Did you see those?
No. Yeah. So it's down by Boscov's.
Okay.
But they changed it because down by Boscov's now is the play center. So I don't know if they got rid of the
furries
or what.
Yeah, you've got the furries or plushies or some some kinky stuff going on there. It encourages you to straddle these stuffed animals.
Preston, they were these huge stuffed animals that the kids could ride around.
Yeah, I don't know about
really
that.
Funny.
Let me go to Mike. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Great. What's up, Mike?
I was talking to Casey when he did his appearance at Q-Mart not too long ago. I used to be a professional wrestler with the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance. We did a monthly show at Zurn's Farmers Market.
That's wild.
And the thing I loved about doing shows there was that if I hated my life or what was going on in my life, I would just go stand out in the aisle and look around. And my life didn't suck anymore.
It made you feel better.
Like, that's awesome.
I actually looked at one of the other wrestlers. I said, now watch this. And I'm in my gear, the whole nine yards. I said, I'm going to go to the men's room. I'm going to walk through the crowd wearing my outfit. I said, and I guarantee you not one head is going to turn. I walked through the crowd, walked into the men's room, did my business, came back, and he looked at me and says, oh, my God, it's actually the end of day.
Mike, I have two quick questions. First, did it cost much money to go to these events? And two, how many people would show up?
Actually, no. I think it was like $12 for ringside, $10 for general admission, and yeah, they would get sold out crowds it was once a month, but every Saturday night they had a show there, it was pretty much a sold out crowd.
We're actually, our interns just pulled up some video footage of an event, of a wrestling event. I don't know if this is you or not. It's on YouTube at Zurn's. And it looks like somebody's slamming somebody's head down on a table that's selling CDs or...
Probably.
Yeah.
Does a monthly show up at Q-Mart now.
At Q-Mart?
Yes.
There's a whole wrestling industry within
in malls.
Various malls and flea markets.
Wow.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's the indie circuit.
Mike, what was your wrestling name?
My wrestling name was Armageddon.
Armageddon. Nice.
Q-Mart.
All right. Thanks for the heads up. We appreciate it, Mike.
Not a problem, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, buddy. Man.
Appreciate it.
That's wild,
man.
But it's kitschy, though, right? I mean, to me, that's... Yeah. If you walk into a place and there's a wrestling match going on, sign me up. That's amazing.
What about old lady wrestling?
Absolutely.
Yes, you have Armageddon.
We loved going to...
It was good.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We used to love going to Booth's Corner because it was very close by. Yeah. And it was only open on the weekends. It was very similar to this type of place. But I'd hate to see that go away, even though I don't live down that in that area any longer.
You know, it's funny, though. You go to those places, and there used to be the Comac Arena. at Long Island used to have that flea market every Saturday and Sunday, and you'd see these booths. There was a guy who sold those little fans that you hold.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was it.
Little personal fans.
This is a whole booth. Like, 200 of these things for sale, and that's all the guy ever sold.
All right, well, let me ask you. Is there anything you can get at that place that is better than you can get anywhere else? Right? Like, Boost Corners, you sort of think that, like, okay, lice.
These you sort of best, think. Best lice in southeastern Pennsylvania.
You get, like, Amish made.
Well, that's what that's why we would go to Boost Corner for the produce, because it was great, it was fresh, they were Amish, and they had just brought loads of stuff, and it was cheap. And
just
it was
went to Whole Foods and bought it.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it was
actually farmed.
No, it was very inexpensive, and that's why we would go there. But is there anything? I mean, they had bongs all over the place too. If you wanted to get those,
yeah.
But
God, but that stuff is just going away. As you can obviously tell by this whole segment, these businesses are going out of business.
I remember Boost Corner had a video shop, and they had there was porn in the back.
Oh,
but you had to go through the swinging doors like you were going through a saloon, Steven. They were really creaky too.
Oh.
So you knew when somebody was going to look at porn because you.
It was either beaded curtains or the swinging saloon doors. Mm-hmm. What do you have, partner? Yeah. Fisting.
So hopefully some of these places stick around. So it's sad to hear that Zurn's is going away. And the Burlington Center Mall, of which I've never been, but considered called the saddest or worst mall in New Jersey. And it is, I guess it's officially closed as of now. But I want to check out this website, deadmalls.com.
And find one. Let's see if we can actually get some go-karts and follow through on that. Or, that would be cool.
Or Casey's Paintball. I like that idea, too.
If anyone has access to any of these malls that are dying or on this list, can you please contact us?
Yeah.
And because I think the thing to do, Preston, is go-kart paintball.
My God. It's genius.
It's the best sport. Oh. Do we just become best friends?
Yeah.
All right. That is a sport.
That's fantastic. All right, listen, we've got to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and I'm going to give you some bizarre file stories. Ian LaPerriere, the Flyers organization, will be in our studio today talking about the Flyers Charity Classic, and we'll have Rob Reiner on the program and more. And a really cool thing from Green Legion to be given away via secret text. We'll tell you about that when we get back. Stay with us.
This summer,
surprise!
The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
So we're going to London October 28th. The Eagles are playing at Wembley Stadium, and you could end up there with us. It's courtesy of Miller Lite and Green Legion. So details at PrestonandSteve.com. Basically, you go out to the appearances that we have of Miller Lite, and you get registered to win, and if you win, then you are a finalist for the grand prize drawing, which we'll do in September. First event coming up July 20th, Marissa Magnata at Xfinity Live from 5 to 7 p.m. If I were you, I'd go to every single one of them.
Please,
there's
yeah.
be a dozen of them.
We'd love to have you join us.
Mm-hmm. So we're headed out to London for the first time ever. It's going to be very, very cool. So get to it. Bizarre File, let's do that.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Elmwood Park Zoo, where curiosity roams. Witness a jaguar on the prowl. Watch an otter at play. And hand-feed a giraffe all in the same visit. So visit ElmwoodParkZoo.org to learn more about this. A couple high on suspected bath salts who thought fireflies were green lasers from aliens are accused of breaking into two homes last weekend.
Oh, they weren't lasers.
No, they weren't lasers.
Pew, pew.
Catherine McCloskey and Jesse Shields told police they spent Friday night driving a pickup truck around, and after dark they started seeing green lights similar to fireflies.
Oh, because they were fireflies.
McCloskey told police that he knew they were not lightning bugs because they were blinking twice.
They were blinking twice. That's the telltale sign you're now dealing with laser beams.
So Shields did what she needed to do and grabbed a .357 Magnum.
I've got this.
belonging to McCloskey's father, got out and started firing it to scare off whoever was messing with them. And this is about 12:37 in the morning.
Hey, you with the laser! Stop!
He then actually was a man. I'm sorry. He then ran into the home and he was met at the door by the homeowner, who he asked to call police. While talking on the phone, the owner, I guess, Neff, told investigators how he saw Shields use a pistol to smash the window in the screen door and come inside. After waiting 20 minutes for police, Shields walked and McCloskey drove to a neighbor's house. The neighbor said that they were awakened by someone screaming from inside their house.
I just saved your family from a laser attack. No need to thank me.
They said they discovered Shields in their living room yelling about being attacked and to call 911. McCloskey was crying, they said. While the homeowner's wife was calling 911, the homeowner was able to get the gun from Shields. While in the home, Shields asked to take a shower to get the, quote, goo off of him that was burning his skin.
The ectoplasm.
So that was what it was, yeah. Yes. Shields was charged with burglary, criminal trespass, possession of a firearm. Shields was placed in custody at $250,000 bail.
What a night.
And McCloskey was charged with burglary and is in county prison in lieu of $15,000 bail. Dave Alexander says the cheeseburger and fries that he bought from McDonald's 6 years ago and placed on a shelf are, quote, surprisingly decent looking good still. The fries are stunningly good looking, he said.
I'm sure they're gorgeous.
He said the fries look like they were purchased this morning. The rural Ontario farmer said that the burger itself has darkened a little bit.
Every day I walk by and I look at those french fries and they're just beautiful.
He said the bun is about as hard as a hockey puck, but it looks like it's brand new cosmetically.
By the way, I'm stark raving mad.
Alexander, who lives on a farm in Ontario, is downsizing his home and decided to sell the meal on eBay with a starting bid of $29.99.
Anybody met that bid?
There were zero bids as of Thursday evening. I haven't checked back.
It's slow.
But Alexander's
for
not
worried. $1 million.
Sluggish.
He said it basically has petrified itself. It looks very sellable. I'm going to assume that someone's going to rehome my cheeseburger. Alexander said he had asked his daughter to buy a McDonald's meal on June 7, 2012 as an experiment. He heard of fast food burgers lasting for years without rotting and wanted to find out if it was an urban legend. Well, it's not. He said, we live in the country and we've never seen a fly land on it, ever. He also...
You got to spend a lot of time watching your petrified burger to make sure a fly doesn't land on it.
Now, he also has a...
Well, we don't have TV here.
He also has a 5-year-old homemade burger and fries that he placed next to the McDonald's meal for comparison.
Does this guy ever actually eat the food he prepares? Or does he just make it artwork?
That one, he said, hasn't fared so well. He said the cheese on the homemade one, especially the French fries, the potatoes just look like bits of charcoal right
now. The 6-year-old couscous tasted pretty good.
Asked if he'll miss the fast food relic once he sells it. He said, I've been looking at it for 6 years, so now that it's moving, yeah, it's a thing, but I'm sure we'll move on.
Yeah, just calling to find out how the petrified burger's doing. We miss it.
The new owners,
yeah,
it's like going to your old house and
doing fine, Kleb.
Yeah,
Kleb.
Can you put it on the phone? All right, here you go.
Yeah, rubbing it on the phone.
Sounds like it. All right.
Let's see. A booze-pilfering, drunken, feral pig has caused chaos by running amok in an Australian campsite and starting a fight with a cow.
Why a cow? The most benign creature ever.
The belligerent porker went on a drunken bender after stealing and drinking 3 6-packs of beer that had been left out by campers near a campsite in Port Hedland, Australia.
G'day!
In the predictable series of events that followed, the animal went on a ransack and went through rubbish bin bags to find some late-night snacks before starting a fight with an innocent eyewitness cow. Following the rampage, the pig decided to swim out into the middle of a river before collapsing drunk under a tree and falling asleep. One camper recounted the tale, saying it was in the middle of the night, and it was these three people camping opposite us, and they heard this crunching of the can, and they got their torch out and shone it on the pig, meaning a flashlight.
Yeah.
And there he was scrunching away at their cans, and he went on, raided their bins, and... then there were some other people camped right by the river, and they saw him running around their vehicle chased by a cow.
Except it's just no way to live.
It isn't.
It's no way. If that's what you're... If you have that going on in your life, move.
But apparently he's okay.
I was worried about the pig.
And then one last story. A suspected drunk driver went back to his own burning car Sunday to try and light his cigarette using the flames.
Wow.
Robert Quigley rear-ended an SUV that was stopped in traffic. At the time of the crash, Quigley was driving around 80 miles an hour. An officer spotted the car after it burst into flames and turned around in traffic to help. As he did, he spotted Quigley switch seats with his female passenger. Quigley later admitted to the officer that he was behind the wheel at the time of the crash. A witness told officials a shirtless Quigley went back to his burning car to light his cigarette, singeing part of his eyebrows off in the process.
Oh, my. He's like Mongo lighting a cigar in the campfire.
Quigley later told the officer at the scene, "Yeah, I'm not afraid of fire. I deal with this kind of stuff all the time."
What does he do for a living?
I don't know. Walker says that Quigley sustained a burn on his neck from his seatbelt. No one else was injured in the crash. Quigley has been charged on suspicion of driving under the influence.
So what, did he put the cigarette in his mouth and duck his face into the fire?
I'm guessing he may have tried to do it that way, Steve.
Or you could have extended out the cigarette with your hand.
Yep. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the Bizarre File this morning. Is this breaking news, Nick?
Yes, sir.
All right, please.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
From our news division.
This just in, that entire Thai soccer team and coach has been freed from the cave.
Yeah!
So they got them all out.
They're still waiting on a medic and three Navy SEALs to emerge.
To come out of there.
Come out of there, but they got all of the kids and the coach.
And by the way, a couple of them had pneumonia. Did you see that?
Oh.
Yeah, they got ill while they were in there, so they're treating them.
God bless them.
They're going to have some issues. Yeah, so as soon as they get the last few people out, it'll all be
word of advice shut. From here on in, stay out of those caves.
Man, wow. Okay.
Well, and because they were in... They were in so far, and then there was the floodwaters that exacerbated the whole thing.
Well, that's great news. All right, we'll follow the details and get them to you on this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a second. Make sure that you stay with us.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Rag 'em. Hey, Deeds and Watson and Philly Pretzel Factory are celebrating National Hot Dog Day, but they're doing it all month long because it's not till Wednesday. But every Wednesday, you can buy two Deeds and Watson pretzel dogs, and you get one for free.
I love pretzel dogs.
I do, too. I just ate, two of them, and I shouldn't have done that.
Why?
Well, it wasn't a whole pretzel dog.
You've been good. You've been good.
Itty bitty ones. I have been pretty good, but they're so good. They're so damn tasty. They're almost perfect.
I'm insulted by anything that's not a pretzel dog.
Okay. I understand that. They brought by a couple of trays for us, and we appreciated that for in-studio guests and so forth. But
you go with any mustard?
I did. I do the spicy brown mustard.
As do I.
I went Tony mustard.
I told Kathy to stay away from it because it might have lice in it.
And by the way, National Hot Dog Day is next Wednesday.
It's next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
But every Wednesday, you buy two Deets and Watson pretzel dogs and you get one for free. So thank you.
That's three hot dogs.
For them and Pretzel Factory as well, Philly Pretzel Factory. Casey had mentioned this off air, and I did see this story, and I didn't get a chance to report on it yesterday, but...
Legalized prostitution?
Not legalized prostitution, but if somebody wants to get their crank yanked, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get that isolated.
Yeah, I know. Where.
Play it again.
Hang on a second. The whole thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I propose this. The city allows for licensed masseurs to give genital massages if the masseur and the client both agree to it. We let someone get naked and have every other part of their body touched and rubbed by a massage therapist. Hell, we let proctologists spend their day men and sticking things.
Oh my God.
So if someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let them.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
So that is not what I was going to report on. This is in a Cape May County beach on Thursday. An intact Portuguese man of war with the ability to cause a nasty sting or even kill a person washed up on the shore.
Wow.
Yes, by the way, when they wash up on shore, they remain fully potent and very sting capable for a while.
Oh, Casey, this is on Wildwood Crest Beach.
Oh, yeah. That's where I go.
That's Casey's spot.
That's it, punctuated.
Jellyfish expert Paul Bologna.
I love that there's jellyfish experts.
Spelled B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
I'm actually a jellyfish expert. If you excuse me now, I have to go speak to some people about how prostitution should be legalized.
The jellyfish expert, Paul Bologna, of Montclair State University said that there have been reports of men of war in Cape May and Wildwood over the last few weeks.
Do you want to know why that is? First off, the weather conditions are conducive to it, and it's also been windy. And when you have the winds kick up, they start to blow in towards the shore.
I didn't think they were here.
They are everywhere you want to be, like American Express.
Well, they're from the Caribbean, Kathy, and they can typically they it depends on the
currents,
the currents and the wind.
Yes,
but they can. It says they originate in the tropics, and the Gulf Stream can carry them along the east coast of the United States and eventually to the British Isles as well.
I told you, I had gone. My whole family had taken a cruise. This is like when I was in second or third grade. Down to Bermuda, and they had just had a couple of hurricanes, and the beaches were absolutely unusable because a lot of these Portuguese men of war had floated in towards the beach, and the beaches were just packed with jellyfish, and it was impossible. You know, no one wanted to go in the water.
So Paul Bologna said that he was forwarded a picture of this one found in Wildwood Crescent, said it was definitely a man of war and that it was in good condition. He said usually by the time they wash up on the beach, they're roughed up in the surf. But that one was in good shape, and all of its tentacles are intact. If you encountered one of those, you could be stung pretty substantially. He said it's not uncommon for a Portuguese man of war to wash up along the Jersey Shore, but that it is unusual for large amounts of them to wash ashore. Several were found along the coast last summer in Beach Haven and Harvey Cedars. I don't know where those are.
I think those are for 10 north, towns.
Yeah. No, they're further north or near LBI.
Did it indicate which beach in Wildwood?
No, it just said a Wildwood Crest beach.
It says right at the bottom there, Casey, look out.
Yeah. By the way, they're not really jellyfish.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're birds.
No, they're not birds. They're actually a specialized animal called zooids.
Zooids? Don't they screw up your pizza when it gets delivered?
That's the noid.
Oh.
Z-O-O-I-D-S. Zooid or zoids.
What distinguishes a zoid? Zooids?
Well, they have, Bologna explained. He said,
Tell us, Bologna.
They have stinging tentacles that can grow up 25 feet to catch their prey as they float along the ocean surface. Bologna said that the sting of a Portuguese man of war could kill a person in the open ocean. And you know what? He doesn't explain why they're...
Can you look up Zooid there, Nick?
Yes, here it is. It's a giant robot or mecha called Zooid.
No, Z-O-O-I-D-S,
oh, I looked
at the wrong. Not Z-O-I-D-S.
Are we saying that our oceans are populated by giant mechs? Mechanical creatures. So years ago, Preston, I read a book by this author. He was a Navy demolitions expert. His name was Thomas Helm, and he wrote he had dove all over the world. He was a very experienced diver, but he was swimming, and he saw a man of war with the tentacles going down about 20 feet. So down towards the bottom, he just one little tiny tentacle, and or whatever the tendril, yeah, tentacles. Yeah. And so he just waved his one index finger through it. What?
Oh, my gosh.
It couldn't be that bad. Couldn't be that bad. He crawled up on the beach. You know, he had his he had a snorkel, and he was you know, wasn't scuba tanked up or anything. In about 10 seconds when he got up on the beach, he started to convulse.
Wow.
Started vomiting. Nice. Passed out and woke up 2 days later. That's how potent, from just touching one of the tentacles.
By the way, this is, it's really weird. A zooid is a single animal that is part of a colonial animal.
So one, well, like the Borg, Preston.
Yeah, yeah. It says the lifestyle has been adopted by animals from separate, unrelated taxa, whatever that is.
That's their tax bracket.
They're multicellular. Their structure is similar to that of other solitary animals. They can be directly connected by tissue or share common exoskeletons, but they're a colony of animals that are all together. All right. Isn't that weird?
And that's very science fiction-y.
Yeah, and so they're like cloned individuals, and they perform specific functions together, like the stinging. So it's all of them stinging you at the same time.
Oh, that's just awesome. Great.
Coral is a good example of zooid.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
The little balloon part of that thing, it looks like it
looks pretty.
No, well, kind of. But it looks like a balloon. Like if you were to,
they call it the bell.
Case, you know what, almost looks like is the if you took a surgical glove, and blew it up.
Yep,
that's kind of what it looks like.
And so when you have a group of jellyfish, that's called a smack, right?
I don't know.
That's very good if you know that
a smack of jellyfish.
Yeah, because I think they should call it like a spread
of jellyfish, you know what I mean? Because
let me get on that.
Or a jar.
Because you spread jelly.
Yes.
Okay. I'll call the Institute of Jellyfish and see what they can do.
We'll call Bologna.
I was going to go to Terry, but we just lost him. He was apparently attacked by a Portuguese man.
Call back. We're sorry about the spread thing.
My wife told me that the Portuguese man of war washed up on Forget Me Not, which is a street in Wild Crest.
Okay.
Yeah.
It washed up on the street?
No, but that's the beach.
Washed up on the street of Wild Crest. It's Portuguese man of war!
A smack of jellyfish. Yeah.
This smacks of jellyfish.
That's what Nick just looked up.
Yeah, you know where I looked it up? Is I'm not kidding. Smackofjellyfish.com.
Wow.
It's a legit website.
Okay. So I just thought...
Please call that guy who was attacked. That looked interesting, right?
Yeah. I have a couple of other things that I can get to as well. Or unless you just want to talk about jellyfish.
No.
Let's talk about prostitution.
No.
Oh, man.
This is pretty neat. Scientists...
Oh, he's back, by the way.
Oh, he's back on the line?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, the dude himself was attacked by... Now, if this is not a good story, I'm going to freak out.
All right. Let me go to Terry. Hi, Terry. Are you there?
Hi, it's a girl.
Oh, oh Terry, okay. Of course. Girls can go in the water.
Hi, Terry.
Girls swim really good.
So I did see that you were in Florida when this happened, right?
Yes. So I was swimming in the ocean in Florida, and I thought I got attacked by a shark because it hurt so bad.
Wow.
It wrapped around my foot. So, of course, I freaked out and shook it off my foot. But then what happened was the guy that was swimming near me, it wrapped around his chest.
Oh, my God.
And then he passed out, and they had to drag him out of the water, and they put him on the back of, like, a pickup truck, almost like Baywatch.
Yeah.
And they had to take him to the hospital with it attached to his chest.
Terry, how long were the tentacles off this thing?
It was pretty, long enough that they wrapped completely around his chest, like from front to back.
So like four or five feet, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really big. And the lacerations that it left behind on my foot, I could not put a shoe on for the rest of the week. And I couldn't go out in the sun. It really hurt so, so bad.
Wow. So did you didn't have to go to the hospital?
I didn't have to go to the hospital because there's remedy-wise, there's not a lot that they can do for you. They checked to make sure that there were no, like, spiky things in my foot.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there really wasn't anything else that they can do aside from taking pain medication, where for this guy, I guess...
Oh, we're losing her. Old injuries acting up. Yeah. We're old jellyfish industry.
Yeah. And he was a grown man, and he passed out from the pain.
Oh, so. I'm sure, man. Wow. It can kill you.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're still in the water, if you haven't gotten out, and that poison sets in, you can drown.
Let me ask you.
Because you can't move properly.
Terry, this far after the whole incident, do you believe they should, in fact, be called a spread of jellyfish?
They should be called a spread of jellyfish.
Okay.
Right. Casey, that's one.
I vote for that.
Wow. So listen, let me ask you, Terry, how many years ago did this happen?
This is quite a few years ago, but every once in a while you do still see them in the ocean, and I don't even take a chance.
That's what I was going to ask. Has it scarred you from going back into the water?
I'm very careful about going in the water now since that. But I have never been stung like that ever again, luckily. But I won't go in. Like, I would, Casey, stay out of the water.
Casey's not a tough sell on that.
Yeah, I don't really go in very often.
You're better off. But I seriously thought I was attacked by a shark. And the way I screamed, people ran. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad that wasn't as bad as the guy who had it wrapped around his chest.
Wow. Yeah, thanks. I think his day was worse than mine.
Yeah. We're looking at something here, Preston. Appreciate I don't know what
the hell is
it's
this?
A sea penis.
Yeah. All could right. you guys
what is that?
Write down and tell us what this is? I don't know where it's awful. It's a very long, translucent tube, and it looks to be like 50 feet, 30 feet. 50 feet long,
so what
and I assume it's some form of jellyfish.
I think what you're seeing after it comes up in this video is the zoid concept. It's a bunch of jellyfish joined together into a like this. Here, take a look.
Yeah.
I think this is multiple jellyfish.
Oh, it is.
Linked up. See that? Wow. And so that goes to that concept of like different cells in a body. They've joined together to become this one long thing of death.
Well, part of this title is pelagic sea squirts.
Pelagic, I had that once.
It's called a pyrosome.
Yeah.
Word for zoid.
Okay.
Equals word for zoid.
That's what Marissa wrote down.
Another word for zoid, I guess.
Another word for zoid.
It's the PC term.
Okay.
What did you call me?
Well, so let me ask you this, Steve.
All right.
Because I did something on the 4th of July, and what would you rather do? Would you rather get stung by a Portuguese man of war?
Yes.
Or, as I was walking out of the surf on the 4th of July, I looked and I saw this thing floating.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And when I got closer to it, the shape resembled it. I thought it was like maybe it looked like a penis, right?
Okay.
It
had a sea penis.
It had two little round things at the bottom.
All right.
Okay. And then
like testicles.
Like balls.
Yeah.
And a little mushroom top, right? So I'm thinking
that's,
you know,
a penis, all right.
But it was kind of clearish but white. So I'm like, well,
where are we going with this?
What is it?
Well, it's bad, Kath. So it's floating there, and I think it's a penis thing. So I'm like, you know, kids can't see this, right?
Kids, no.
They, you know,
you don't go to the beach to learn about penises.
So I end up scooping this thing up with my finger. And
oh, my
as
God.
I,
why would you touch it?
Because it was trash, Kath. And I examined it first. It
oh, you knew it was not alive. You had determined that it was some sort of refuse.
It was refuse.
All right.
When I scooped it up out of the water, I realized that it was a feminine napkin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. A pad.
That
looked like a penis. Become inflated because of the mm-hmm. water.
Yeah.
It looked like
oh
a penis.
And so now God. I have this thing in my hand.
Do you have it with you?
No.
Oh.
No, I ended up, I took it and I threw it away. Would you rather?
You set it free.
Would you rather?
I'd rather do that than get stuck
yeah
by
yeah
a
guy.
Yeah.
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 We should put Casey.
I can handle a floating tampon over yeah a jellyfish.
Let's put Casey in Preston's house and burn it down.
Yeah.
I want to go to some other calls here. I have Yvonne, who is on the air. Yvonne, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
I cannot believe you're talking about this because we just had a family incident. My niece was married Friday on the island of St. John in the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, she and her groom went snorkeling, and he was stung by, they believe, a Portuguese man of war.
No kidding.
Went into anaphylactic shock.
Wow.
He had to be boated to the island of Tortola, where he is hospitalized.
Wow.
Vomiting, convulsions. They thought he was going to have a heart attack.
Yvonne, do you know where the tentacles wrapped him up on his body?
On his arm.
On his arm.
No kidding. An anaphylactic shock from that.
On his arm.
So how close to death? He had to be pretty close to death then.
They were very fortunate when they pulled into the harbor at Tortola. There happened, like, God willing, there was a U.S. doctor in the harbor who had an EpiPen.
Wow. Luckily for you, our number one jellyfish man is here. So to help out. Yeah, because to be away from home and to be down in the islands and not really know what kind of medical care you're going to get, the fact that he was there with the EpiPen and ready to go, you know, that's a one in a million shot.
Yeah, and that gave him enough to hold him over till they could get him in an ambulance and get him to a hospital.
Yvonne, how's he doing now?
He's doing much better. I actually texted with my niece yesterday. He's awake and eating and there's no longer a concern of a heart attack or anything, but he's got a...
They are getting a divorce, though.
Are they going to medevac him to, like, San Juan or Miami or anything like that, or is he going to stay in the islands?
No, they're going to finish out their week and come home... this coming week.
That sucks. You talk about having your vacation room with lice.
Lice didn't seem
so bad.
Nick, you know what? He's probably better off there, though, because they deal with it more than, you know.
Good point. Right. Yeah, they may be used to treating things.
Their
like
witch
that.
Doctors are some of the finest in the world.
I'm going to go to Kelsey. Hello, Kelsey. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Kelsey?
So I was in Daytona as a kid. I want to say I was in like sixth grade, and my brother and I were swimming in the water, and he thought he had gotten stung. So he started to run in. He was whining, and I was chasing him in. And as I was chasing him, I got stung too. So I got stung.
Who's the whiner now?
Well, I wasn't really whining. I was kind of scared, but so we came in and we didn't really know what to do. And the lifeguard, they came up and they were like, "Well, you know, you could go to the hospital, but they're not really going to do anything for you. There's all these tricks that you can do." And
you're supposed to pee on each other.
Yes, actually, that is one of the tricks. And So my brother peed on me.
Right. And you pooped on him.
That's what you do to whiners.
Yeah, yeah.
You poop on him. Kelsey, exactly. Do you think it was a man of war? Because it doesn't sound like it was very severe.
I was in a lot of pain, and I actually had scars for years.
Okay. Well, that it could be.
Yeah. I have seen pictures of these, you know, twisty, winding shapes on people
that's exactly what it was.
Okay.
Those are men at work.
Yeah. No, men at work. From the land down under.
Yeah, exactly.
They only can get those in Australia.
They pump Vegemite into your bloodstream.
Those scars lasted for a long time, huh?
Yeah, I had them for about 3 or 4 years, and then they finally went away. But every time I would get tan, you would see them. There were little white dots.
Yeah, they those.
Like,
it can cause a long-term scar, and you see victims years after. They still have the signs of it. It's pretty clear. So, well, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Kelsey. Appreciate it. Let me go to this other call. I have Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, man.
How are you doing, Dan?
Good. So you had a run-in with more than once Man of War, correct?
Yeah. I'm born and raised in Hawaii on the windward side of that island. You get them all the time.
Yeah.
When it's windy. Growing up, you kind of get used to them. They're kind of all over the place. And you can actually pick them up by the little balloon park.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Nah, probably
Let's
not.
Skip like, it.
We used to do it as kids. But I got stung on my back and on my leg before.
Wow. And describe the sensation.
Imagine like a line of bees just kind of lining up and just all hitting you at the same time.
Oh.
And how long does the pain last with you?
For me, it was probably a couple of hours, but it itched and burned for about a day and a half or so.
Okay.
Well, that's actually not so bad. I guess there are varying degrees of potency because, you know, there are some stories where I guess maybe perhaps the larger man of war will inflict, you know, a more dramatic or introduce a more dramatic toxin into your body because you seem to do okay.
Yeah, I had about 2 feet of tentacle on my back when I got it.
All right.
You say when you get into troubles, when you're sensitive to like bee stings, stuff like that, you go into the anaphylaxis.
Well, that's got to be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that's not a problem for me. So it wasn't as bad for me as I heard from other people. Yeah.
All right. Were you just out swimming, or do you surf, or what were we doing?
Yeah, we're just body surfing out there in the, you know, not a short break in the windward side. So you just blow in with the wind, and then you see the balloons flowing around, so you try to avoid them. But they're
no, you don't try to avoid them. You don't go anywhere near the water. And, in fact, you move. You leave Hawaii forever.
And come to Philadelphia.
And you go to Arizona is where you go.
There's no ocean here, so we're good.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You try to avoid them.
Well, no.
Learn
watch out for sharks. No, I won't have to. I'm not going to be anywhere near the ocean.
We got a text in from a marine biologist. Says here, peeing on the sting doesn't actually do anything. You should.
I was wondering that.
You should attempt to scrape out the nematocysts, which are the stingers, with something like a credit card or something that has an edge on it.
So basically, that girl's brother peed on her
for nothing.
For no reason.
Now, you do get nauseous, though, and you can help a person out by pleasuring yourself on them.
Okay. Dear
Lord. That helps reduce the nausea.
Okay.
Remember, I just told you my friend got stung on his dong and had to pull the stingers out or whatever those little things are.
Nematocysts.
That was, no, thank you.
That's just a whole level of agony that I don't even want to consider.
You talked about, you know, ending the nauseous. I realized something. Did Kathy ever, like, ingested something where we have to induce vomiting? Just, like, hey, teabag Kathy. Yeah. She'll puke.
Exactly. No, just even suggest it.
If any one of you did that, I would
puke. Anything remotely sexual between any one of us and her, and she'll vomit instantly.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. All right, so anyhow, this is a full intact one, and they were saying it was in, you know, still shape to where it could hurt you. Had washed up on a Wildwood Crest beach, and you said it was where, Casey?
Forget me not,
in that area, and they've been reported here and there, but they haven't had a ton of them, but they're keeping an eye out for that in case there's several of them coming up the coast.
Did they say what they did with it? Did they just leave it, or they did somebody take it off?
Rolled it in daycare.
They took a picture of it, so, and there's a... I think there's a tropical storm headed up the coast as well. So who knows if it's going to hit the Carolinas? It might bring up some more of some of this guy's buddies.
What it'll more than likely do is pick up some of them out of the ocean and start flinging them around.
Wow.
The inner cities.
Wow. All right. Listen, let's take a break because we're going to have a guest on in a little bit. Our buddy Ian LaPerriere, who we have not had a chance to speak to in quite some time. But he's going to be popping by our studio, and we'll offer him up some free goodies. Our friends from Dietz and Watson and Philly Pretzel Factory came by because National Hot Dog Day is next Wednesday, the 18th, and the first 100 customers on National Hot Dog Day are going to get a free Dietz and Watson pretzel dog and a card for $1 dogs all August. That's pretty sweet. All right, so make sure you stop by next Wednesday for that. Now, as we take a break, let's go give away some movie screening passes. We have The Equalizer 2. Denzel is back in this role, and I love that movie. I just saw it. I was really late to the party.
Great movie.
I'm excited about this one. The screening is Monday, July 16th, 7:30 at the UA Riverview. It doesn't open nationwide until July 20th. So we'll take five callers, and we'll get you to the movie. 215-263-WMMR is the number. Back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I think real quick, before we go any further and welcome our next guest, I should have seen this in the last break, but we were talking about, Steve, you were talking about the hurricane or the tropical storm coming up the coast. And
yes.
Be pulling up Man of Wars and flinging them all over the
yes,
place.
Yes, yeah.
Somebody had a great name, Man of Warnado.
Man of Warnado. Oh, love
like
it.
Sharknado.
Yeah.
That'd be a perfect, that's
that
next
should be
movie.
Worse.
Man of Warnado.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, just so drape all over you.
I couldn't let that one go. I had to pass it along. Thanks to you, Mystery Texter, who sent that in. Our next guest, we're so excited to have him back in our studio. It's been years since we've seen him face-to-face.
Yes, too long.
He's been busy with his team, and we understand, but he's here to talk about a charity event that is going on Sunday. Please welcome, from the organization of the Philadelphia Flyers, Mr. Ian LaPerriere.
Yeah!
Thank Lappy's you. Back. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You nice know, to see you. He was already busting my balls about having lice right when he walked in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
I just, you know, you look different.
Yeah.
Lice will do that to
I
you.
I love that about you. Man.
Well, you can bust his balls right back because Lappy actually showed up here yesterday for the interview.
Yeah. You see, I shouldn't tell you that.
You did?
I did. You know, it's, I don't know. I was so excited to be on the show that I was here a day early.
We understand. But you're like, you just got like a kid.
I was so happy to miss you guys. That's yeah. But I did drove up. I was right around the corner, actually, and I called Shannon at the office. I'm like, make sure you call them. I'll be a little bit late. She goes like, Lappy, the interview's tomorrow. But the good thing, you know, I'm getting ready for that race coming up on Sunday. I had my bike in my car, and I just went down to the Ryan Mannion there and rode my bike to Valley Forge.
Beautiful scenic. You're right in a nice area. And to that race, we're going to find out everything that's going on with that. Do you have to train?
Well, you do. If you like, I'm doing the 100K. You don't want to, and it's. I'll be honest. It's a challenging course. You know, I've done races before, and flat course are okay, but this one's a little bit more. There's more hills than I was expecting, and that's why I need to get on my bike a little bit more this year. And I've been riding right around the corner from here, like probably three times a week.
Have you ever done a really long ride? Like this?
I've done an Ironman. Like I've done 5 years ago, I did Mont Tremblant Ironman race.
Full Ironman.
Full one. I did four half and one full.
Repulsor rays and everything, Preston. Full Ironman.
No, not like that.
You're swimming 2 miles.
2.4 miles, 112 mile bike ride.
And then a marathon?
And then a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long did that take? What was
12 hours, 11 minutes. Yeah. Felt great, you know.
What was the worst part of it?
The running.
Showing like, up.
Yeah, showing up. You know, the swimming, at first, you're nervous, you know, because I'm not a swimmer. But I did okay, and it's you train for it, obviously. I trained for 9 months, but the run, like, you're tired of, you know, biking and swimming, and when you get into the run, you get cramps and everything, and you got to deal with the mental part of things. But it was great. I would do it. I'm just not healthy enough to do that, but I'll do it again if I could.
Wow, man. All right, so this event is not going to be that grueling this weekend. It's on Sunday. It's the Flyers Charity Classic, but it's all, is it all, oh, no, there's also a 5K walk and run.
Yeah, 5K walk. Okay. There's a 10K, 10-mile family ride, just a nice little ride there. And you can do the 50K bike ride, too. You don't have to do the 100K. 50K is nice, too. But what I like about this event, like we go down Broad Street there. There's no traffic. You got cops stopping all the traffic.
It's so cool. It's great.
It's very cool. Like you would never do that other than that day.
And for suicide, if you want to commit suicide, you do that.
you do that for sure.
It's a wonderful thing to have those areas cleared to get your bike out on that you would normally never get access to that way. It's kind of a cool experience.
It is. It's very cool. Very cool.
So you end up hitting the hills around the Manayunk Roxboro area.
Yes.
So I assume you go down Broad Street, maybe down like JFK or Ben Franklin. Out by the Art Museum, up Lemon Hill, or in that area?
Correct. Okay. And you do hit hills. I'll be honest, like it's challenging. You know, if somebody just decide to go do the ride, didn't train all summer, or didn't train for a little bit at least, the 100K might be too much. And that's why we get a 50K at 10 miles. It's great. You know,
there's,
what?
There's a 50-foot shuffle, which looks rather,
but you know what?
Rather appealing.
The good thing is you know, because I do ride my bike a little bit during the summer and stuff, is at least you're flat for a while to get your muscles warm, right? So it's not like you're hitting... Because I'm doing the tour to shore in like 3 weeks, and the first thing you do is you ride up the Ben Franklin Bridge.
No, you do have time to warm up for sure. You're right. Yeah, you won't hit that hills until probably, I don't know, 20K, and now you're gonna start climbing, which it's good, it's challenging.
Have you done the you practice on the wall in Manayunk?
No, I haven't done that. I've done it before, like years ago when I was training for that Ironman there, but I just do the flat course here just to get mileage under my legs.
It's so wild because obviously if you do something and practice and keep practicing, you'll get good at it. But that to go up a hill of that angle.
They used to have a race there.
Yes,
a professional race.
To watch the guys do it fairly effortlessly, and many of them while sitting down, to me, I'd have to be standing and pumping.
Well, you burn more energy that way, so that's why you have, like, you know, they've got like 30, 40 gears on their bikes.
And they're probably 110 pounds wet.
Yeah, that too. By the way, on a personal note, Lappy, this is home now. This is full-time Philadelphia in the area. And you were saying you got two kids or teenagers?
Yeah, 16 and 14, and they're busy, and they keep us busy. And that's why we love it here. What's not to love?
Boys or girls? I don't know.
Two boys.
Yeah. And hockey wasn't a...
My oldest plays hockey. He loves it. He's just a good teammate, good player, works hard. And my youngest plays lacrosse and football.
Okay.
With a professional angle in mind or just for fun?
No, just for fun.
Okay.
And I'm good with that.
You're fine with that.
I'm fine.
Listen,
with that.
You know what? You look at professional sports and the amount of kids that participate in sports in general and the percentage of them that make it to the professional level
it's
of
like
it.
98%, right?
No. I mean, it's so absolutely minuscule that having a parent that was a successful professional player, it's got to be a little intimidating if you're interested in that sport. But if you're well grounded, you understand that, you know, it's just a handful of people make it to the big show.
But how do you do that, honestly? Because you want to walk that fine line of encouraging. Is it, if this really is what you want to do, you want to encourage it, but you also want to be practical and pragmatic and say, but the odds are against you.
Well, he knows, like, you know, he's 16, and he's a smart kid too. Yeah. And, you know, I've never acted with him like my dad did with me. I never force him. I suggest stuff. If you want to keep up and be a little bit better, well, you might have to do some extra.
Right.
And that's what I did. And I'm still doing it. And if he wants to make it, he would have to do a little bit more, which he will decide by himself or not.
Right.
He won't do it for him.
And your dad was that way with you?
My dad was like that. And most of the guys that make it, dads were like that. There's not too many dads that were crazy dads that we hear stories about.
Right.
Those kids quit at 15, 16 because they don't love the sport.
And they resent it. They begin to resent
they do.
It. Yeah.
I think, you know, the everything skips up a level every 2 or 3 years anyway, right? So when you're making that transition to, and I'm talking about any sport, you know, you make that transition from like eighth grade to high school, it skips up a little bit. So if you want to compete and you want to do this, then you're going to have to skip up your intensity a little bit as far as, you know, because I think of my brother with his kids and his daughter going from eighth grade into ninth grade playing field hockey. He said to her, you should run every day. You know, and my brother's not a slave driver at all.
Yeah.
He's like, but, you know, here's the deal. Like, you need to, you know, there's other girls that are going to be going after the team that are just as good as you. But, you need to set yourself apart from them. So run 2 miles every day. And then sure enough, when she went to camp, running was such a big part of it that she ended up making the varsity team as a freshman. Yeah.
But there's a way to say to give the message. You know, you just don't want to force your kid, and all of a sudden at 15, they don't want to talk to you anymore.
Right? I hate your guts.
Yeah. Well, so, Labby, to that end, how difficult is it for you as a coach to scout younger talent? And in particular, I'm thinking about goalies, and they got this kid, Carter Hart, coming up, who was supposed to be, at some point, a starting goalie in the NHL, but you can look at potential, you can look at ability, but to be able to know whether or not this guy is actually going to be what he may be or is supposed to be, how hard is that?
Well, that's not our job. We coach and we have the management and the scouting, guys that are doing that all winter long. They watch those kids all the time. They talk to them before they draft them. They meet with them during the season. And body language is a big thing. They see what they do in practice or morning skate or just in warm-up before the game. Little things like that would tell you a lot. Skill, you know, stats is one thing. But when you get to this level, everybody is pretty good.
Right.
And you just need to look for those little details to see if they're going to make it or they'll be as successful like everybody thinks.
And it's always very important to have someone you can point to and blame. Yeah. So that's key. Yeah. No, it has to be hard, though, to see talent that way. I don't, Preston, you talked about your years being a music director and having to pick it's a whole gift set and skill set unto itself.
No, I wasn't any good at it.
It's too difficult. Yeah.
So I mean, hockey's been in your life since how old were you when you first started?
I was skating. I was 3 or 4 and started playing at 6. Back home, it's normal. It's like you guys playing baseball, football. Like, you know, that's what we do. You know, we're born with skates
on. Your cribs had skates on.
Yeah, pretty much. And
you still love it?
I love it. I'll be honest, that's pretty much all I know, what I know well, and it's I love it. I'm passionate about the sport. And
you still play, like in a pickup league or anything?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm on the ice during during practices and everything. We don't have time during the winter. And summer, I try to stay away from the rink because, you know, it's a long season and it's a grind. And I just try to stay away from the rink.
So is that why you started doing Ironmans and stuff like that? Because, you know, that intensity for your entire life all of a sudden comes to an abrupt end.
Yeah.
And you need to channel that somehow.
It did. I had to retire. I wasn't planning on retiring that year, and I was looking for a challenge physically and to do something, and I start running. I did the Philly Marathon, and I had two of my buddies challenging me. They're like, hey, great job on the marathon, but...
It's funny why not to enter pie eating contest?
Yeah,
I mean, different. You could have gone the other way.
You go the other way, too. Yeah, I don't want to go that way.
Ironman is not a natural thing.
It's not.
It is... totally unnatural.
It is.
Have you ever cramped? Because listen, this is a duration thing, and these athletes encounter a lot of times muscle spasms and cramping up, and it becomes very painful. Have you ever had a run in with that where you've been incapacitated by a cramp or?
Well, before or after, no. But when I did the race, I did in a run, I cramped up, and I figure I did some testing after to see what was wrong with me to cramp that bad. And I'm one of the worst sweater and the saltiest sweater you can have, and it's a bad mix when you do those distances.
Wow. Right. So, is there anything that you can do to combat that?
Well, hydration's the key, but it's not only water, it's everything. It's
electrolytes and all that.
Electrolytes, but they say like it's a 3-event sport, but it's really a 4-event sport. That fourth event, it's nutrition during the race there. It's a big key.
Interesting. All right, switching gears for a minute. G got married. Claude Giroux. Mm-hmm. And was that this past weekend?
It was,
And you were at the wedding, right?
Yeah, we were at the wedding.
How was that?
Beautiful. Yeah. They look so happy, and that's great. You know, when you see a young couple like that and smile on their face the whole day. It was a beautiful day, too, and it was great.
Anybody there you hadn't seen in a while?
Braden Chen showed up. Okay. Shannon was there. It was good to see him. And, a bunch of the players were there. But Brendan Manning, which had a nice relation with him. He just signed in Chicago. And it was good to see him, you know, and wish him luck with his new team. And, it was good to see everybody.
Nice. That's awesome. Good for you.
Did you do the electric slide?
The electric slide?
Yeah. You know the electric slide.
The dance?
Every wedding has.
No, I don't dance. I'm not a dancer, guys.
You don't dance at weddings?
No, I don't.
No.
All right. I'm gonna ask you outright. I know that the front office doesn't like the coaching staff to really talk about the team directly, and not to trample on any, you know, sensitive subject, but I mean, do you think that's a good thing that that you're not really?
Yeah, you know what?
Press?
It's a good thing because you know I don't talk it. It can't come from me. Like if something leaks out or something like that, it can be us because we're not allowed to talk about the team, and it's fine. I'm fine with that.
You just shut it down. Yeah.
I'm fine with that. You know, right. It's the management decision, and I work for them. And
so follow up question. What line will JVR be on?
So that being said.
Now, I assume you're still allowed to bet on the team.
Yeah, that's okay.
We'd love to talk to you about that stuff, but listen, you're such a great, charismatic,
thank you.
Great guy, a fan favorite here in Philly. We could talk to you about anything, just hang out and have a good time.
Yeah.
Like head lice, for example.
Can I throw something out there? Like before, like, you know, you wrap me up and everything about the race on Sunday. There, it's the last day to register today. And
last day to register today. Up until what time?
10 p.m. tonight.
10 p.m. tonight.
But if you throw like a WMMR on the promo code, you'll have a 15% off today.
Nice.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes. And it's flyerscharityclassic.com that you can register. And we've linked off of it on PrestonSteve.com, so you can go find it very easily.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because MMR and our sister station, The Fanatic, we broadcast all the Flyers games, which is great. So MMR has partnered up with the Charity Classic this year. It's officially MMR Rocks, the Toyota Flyers Charity Classic. And it's on the front page of WMMR.com and PrestonAndSteve.com. So if you need any of that information, you can go there. But it's a really nice relationship that our radio station has with the team and to be able to partner up with the charity events like this.
Yeah,
it's
and
cool.
Sunday, you know, you'll see Briere, Bernie is going to be there, Bobby Clark's going to be there. I'm not saying they're doing the 100K, but they'll be there and you can chat with them. It's just a great event. I had a blast last year just to see all our fans and athletes. And what I like about charity events like that, it promotes health too.
Yes.
To do that, you go out there, you need to be in shape and you need to work out. And, you know, we see so many stories out there of kids not doing anything, being on their phone all day. At least that day you'll see people being active, and I love that.
And there's different skill at different levels for everybody. So there's an entry point for anyone who wants to participate. Talk about Bernie. Have you ever gone fishing with him?
No, but he invited me probably 100 times. I love the man. He's my favorite. He's French Canadian like me, if you guys didn't figure out I'm French or not. But he's just a great guy.
He's a maniac for the fishing, man. He's just
loves his boat.
He loves his boat.
Yeah, he does.
Listen, I wanted to bring this up for years. I had this idea years ago, a contest I wanted to do with you, and it all stemmed, and you do a lot of charitable things, and one of them was, and I have the audio here.
Oh, no.
When your teeth were stolen
and
missing, and I got to bring people back up to speed. You were cutting a public service announcement, and this was it, and you didn't have your teeth.
I'm Ian LaPeria of the Flyers. Join the Flyers and Kiwi Shoes Cares to support Soul for Souls on January 30th. Donate a pair of new or gently used shoes and be entered to win an MVP experience with me. Courtesy of Kiwi. I'll just say that word. Sure you don't want to wait for me to have my teeth to do this?
They had shoes in there and soles and soles for shoes so many times. It was impossible for you.
That's crazy. It was just
raw deal.
It was.
I had an idea, and if you don't want to do it,
funny.
You don't have to. But years ago, I had an idea for a contest called Lappy's Lyrics, where if you would take your teeth out and we would give you song lyrics to recite.
I can't anymore, though.
You can't? You can't.
They're permanently in there?
Sorry.
No. Well, we have a hammer back there.
Yeah, no, I'm good. That was a painful procedure.
It's got a claw. It'll wedge it right out, no problem. Yeah, no.
And that's painful to have them put in?
Well, they had to because in that accident, you want to call it, I took a puck to them out there.
Yeah.
It broke the bone.
Bones.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had to put... it took bones off of my jaw and put it in my mouth. And my face was about this big. It was a 2-year process. Wow.
So they took other bone parts from your jaw and put them on the top part
and in the bottom.
Well, because you had a crack. They had to reinforce it.
Yeah, because they had some place to screw the teeth,
the anchors in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now it's
not funny.
Oh, now it's not that funny.
And you know what? I can commiserate because I have an ingrown toenail.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Both of my feet. Yeah.
All right, yeah.
We started a GoFundMe campaign.
Ian, refresh my memory. It was an important game where you took that puck to the face, wasn't it?
That I took two that year. Took one in the mouth and one in the eye. The eye was in New Jersey, and that's the one I had to retire. That's the one in the mouth you're watching. That's a regular season there. That's and the other one was in the eye. The other one was less painful but more damage.
You did. You broke your orbital socket, right?
I did, yeah. And I bruised the front of my brain. That was the big thing. That's why I had to call it a career.
No kidding. Preston, the contest can be just having him read the lyrics.
That'll be a challenge by yourself.
To yourself. Just read the lyrics.
See, I miss you guys. I'm in here 6 years. I can't wait to come back in 6 more years.
Did you lose any vision?
Let me.
I got blurry vision in my right.
You do? Wow.
Yeah. Two pucks to the face in one season.
Yeah.
Man, hockey player. When you watch the World Cup and you see a guy get tapped on the
back. I'm a big fan of Neymar. No, I'm not. Yeah. He's a great soccer player, but he drives me nuts.
And I love the World Cup. I love the competition. I think it's fantastic. Too. But I'm such a big hockey fan, and I can't separate the whining and the flopping and from the athlete. You know,
the culture is different.
Well, you as a career, you share a lot as far as you're talking about getting hit in the face with stuff with the porn industry. Because
wait a minute, my wife's listening here.
They're the same sort of issues. Let me ask you with the now having the teeth anchored in and everything. Was there sort of, was there any aspect of being able to pop them out that you miss? Or
I don't miss that.
You don't miss it at all.
Trust me.
Okay.
They're there and they're comfortable.
Good. We're glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, they were the stars of This Is 40, the movie,
if you remember. Right,
yeah, you're right. Well, it was part of that movie. It was a great experience.
All right. Well, listen, I would like to reiterate the information about the Flyers Charity Classic. It is on Sunday. The deadline to get registered is today, as Ian was saying. And if you use the code WMMR, you get 15% off of it. But you can go to, and I just misplaced the information.
PrestonC.com has the information.
Yeah. If you go to click events at WMMR.com, you can get all the information registered, all that stuff.
Awesome. Lappy, it's great to see you, man. We miss you.
Good to see you guys.
And thanks so much for coming by here.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate that. We'll see you on Sunday.
Awesome. Yes. Ian LaPerriere, guys.
Yeah.
We are going to take another break. Coming back in just a moment. Got some beefowl stories I didn't get to you last time around. I'll have them for you when we return. Stay with us.
Slayer! MMR. Everything that rocks. Even a little thrash metal. Get ready for Slayer, July 31st at the Pavilion at Montage Mountain in Scranton.
Bring it on! From a lacerated sky!
MMR has an exclusive, rare opportunity for you to meet the band. You get a hotel room for the night, and you get VIP parking and free water park passes, and you get pit passes for the show, a signed Slayer guitar, and you meet the band. Here's how to enter.
Post a video doing your best.
Slayer!
To Twitter or Instagram. Use hashtag WMMR Slayer Contest. Here's the catch. You gotta do it in a very unSlayer-like location. And don't piss off your neighbors or the police.
Entry deadline Thursday, July 12th. Complete details at WMMR.com. Tickets are on sale now via LiveNation.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
And a reminder that National Pretzel Day is coming up.
Yeah!
Yes, I know. There's a reason to be excited. And Deeds and Watson has been here this morning along with Philly Pretzel Factory. And don't forget that next Wednesday, July 18th, National Hot Dog Day, you get $1 Deeds and Watson pretzel dog all day at Philly Pretzel Factory.
And I think in honor of the event, everyone's tax debt is forgiven.
No. I don't know about that.
I'll check on that.
Check on that.
Okay.
But you can.
So, but the first part, definitely accurate.
Definitely get the $1 Dietz and Watson pretzel dog all day at Philly Pretzel Factory. So that is next Wednesday, July 18th.
Honestly, the pretzel dog is genius.
It is.
I know everyone lauds Jonas Salk for discovering the polio vaccine, but no. This is a great invention.
It's pretty much a match made in heaven.
Absolutely.
I love mustard on a hot dog. I love mustard on a pretzel. Put them together.
It's two things you love together.
Yeah, it's true. It's exactly what it is. All right, Bizarre File. Let's get to it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by the Irish Pub Tour de Shore. You can join Casey Boy and Penn Beer for the 31st Annual Irish Pub Tour de Shore on Sunday, July 29th. For information or to donate, you can go to irishpub.donordrive.com. So the cuts and scratches on a woman from the Michigan City area are healing from an attack by her neighbor's rooster.
The rooster!
And it might take her a bit longer, though, to recover emotionally. She said it was just an awful experience. It really was. Donna Graham said the rooster had been flying over her chain link fence into her backyard frequently since May when she and her husband moved there. On Wednesday, police got involved when she reported being assaulted by the rooster. Graham said the rooster had been crowing in her yard for more than 2 hours when she went out and opened the gate. And the woman said she was trying to shoo the rooster through the opening of her fence.
Shoo, rooster, shoo.
When the bird came at her, Graham said the rooster began clawing and pecking at her legs and chased her all the way to her back door. She put dish soap and peroxide on her half dozen or so marks that were bleeding. Graham says that she hasn't been back in her backyard since.
How could you go back after that?
Officers spoke to her neighbor, who promised to try
what did it look like?
Keep a closer watch on her farm.
Rooster.
Roosters, like any other animals, can retaliate if they feel threatened. But the best thing to do if confronted with a rooster, an expert said, is to stand up to it. And that'll get rid of it.
Do you think this is really a case of sexual tension?
It might be. Between the rooster and her?
Yeah, and her.
I don't really know. This is a tragic story, but it's happened before. At least 24 people were killed in a series of explosions Thursday in Toltepec, which is a Mexican town where similar deadly incidents have occurred before. Dozens of others were injured in the explosions at the pyrotechnics workshops.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, an initial explosion was followed by three more within an hour. The city, about 48 kilometers north of the capital, bills itself as the country's fireworks capital. Emergency teams responded to the call for the first explosion when a second explosion occurred, and that resulted in the deaths and injuries of members of those teams. Firefighters, police officers, civilians were among those killed. So it's tragic.
Well, they had the Grucci family that has done fire. I did the McGrucci parody, but the Grucci family had their facility on Long Island blow up a couple times because you're dealing with explosives all the time.
About three dozen people were killed in 2016. An explosion at the same fireworks market in 2005 injured a large number of people and caused extensive damage. The city has a 200-year tradition of manufacturing pyrotechnics and is host to a huge fireworks festival.
I don't see how you could not be a nervous wreck every day. Every day.
Yep. A man and a child became... Is that my computer?
It's Pornhub.
Oh, wait a minute. No, a series
Perry,
repeating.
The Capitol Building fireworks capital emergency came to respond to the call for the first explosion. Explosion occurred and that result. In the destination.
I don't want to tell you this, but it does a better job, man. It's really good.
What's that noise? Siri got all active on me, so I don't know. Okay.
Where's that sound coming
yep.
from?
Damn right.
There's nothing on here. What the What the is this?
All right.
The is that? All right.
A man and a child became stuck on a zip line at Gatorland over a pool of gators on Saturday.
Wait a second. They have gators in a pool at Gatorland?
They do.
Oh, yeah. I guess it would make sense.
Yeah. The manager of the zip line said the situation is an everyday occurrence. It happens fairly often. Nick Kahipana said that the man and child were never in any danger, as the guides at Gatorland are fully trained in that particular situation.
Which is what? They shoot the gators?
No. The pair were about 40 feet above the gators at the apex of the zip line. Officials said that they were stuck on the zip line for about 20 to 25 minutes, slightly longer than normal due to the weight of the man. Kahipana said that the wind gusts are typically to blame for people becoming stuck, which was what happened in the situation.
They should probably redesign the zip line configuration then if it's a typical occurrence.
Yeah, the manager said typically it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to free people from there. I tried to take Casey to this. He didn't want to go.
Real? Why?
Yeah, when we were in Florida, he desperately wants to see alligators.
But he wants to see one of them.
I'm like, Gatorland's right there.
Right
Let's
there.
Go. Let's
That's
go.
The same thing.
Not the same thing.
No, like, if you see a gator at a zoo, it's not the same. You want to see it in the wild.
I saw one on Saturday at the Cape May Zoo. Poor thing, just sitting there all by himself. It was cool.
So you're the one who wants to see gators, huh? Well, what do you think?
Someday.
You're down there enough. I've seen them, and I haven't been in Florida all that much, but I've seen one or two down there in nature. You'll see it.
Yeah. We saw one from the tram in the airport.
It almost doesn't count.
Okay.
Almost.
I saw a smear of jellyfish.
It was in the wild.
Well,
a smear. A spread.
Spread.
Yeah.
Spread of jellyfish.
A schmear.
I saw another gator, but again, it doesn't count. I was on a safari in Animal Kingdom, but it wasn't part of the thing. It was actually outside of the park.
That does count, though.
I know. It was like tiny. It was like a little baby alligator.
So picky. All right, so a man who had a metal cup stuffed in his butt for 10 days.
What?
claims that it was put there by muggers.
That's all cut butt.
Security guard Robndin said that he was robbed of the 545 pounds he had made selling his motorcycle.
Okay, so why did they put a cup in his butt?
A doctor said that he was knocked out during the attack and woke up with severe abdominal pain. 10 days later, he came to the hospital, and a scan revealed that he had a steel cup lodged inside of him. Surgeons had to operate on him to remove it. The metal cup got stuck by his intestines.
We found out what it is. You have a metal cup jammed up your butt.
Initially,
yeah, a cup.
The doctor said we tried to remove the cup through the butt itself, but after an hour, despite our best efforts, we couldn't get it out, and then we decided to do invasive surgery from the stomach.
This is a
and get the metal
huge,
cup out. Yeah.
This is like a goblet.
Yeah, it's a big one. The surgery lasted 2 hours, and he was discharged from the hospital on July 4th.
I guess you have to work your way up. You start with shot glasses, and then
he's drinking Steins
by the end of it.
He was passed out, and they did it. So, all right, and then we'll do one more story, and we'll end with one from nature. Researchers in Finland say they've discovered a new species of wasp in the Amazon that has a huge stinger on it.
Oh, awesome news.
The wasp, which scientists named Clistophyga cresicauda.
All the live long day.
Cresicauda, that's it, boasts a stinger that is both longer and wider than those seen on most wasps. And in fact, the lead researcher, Ilari Savazare, said, I've studied tropical parasitoid wasps for a long time, but I've never seen anything like it.
It's the length of the wasp's body.
Yeah, the stinger looks like a fierce weapon. He said researchers say the class of wasps, like the one they discovered, use their stingers not only to inject other creatures with venom, but also to lay eggs in them as well.
That's disgusting.
These types of wasps will paralyze a spider
using
its venom. And then lay its eggs in the spider so that the hatching larva can eat it and any potential spider eggs, too.
We're looking at a wasp right here, of what you're talking about. Apparently, it's a stripper as well because it's dancing on a pole.
Yeah, we have it. For some reason, it's on a pole. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in this morning's bizarre file. We're going to take a break, but you know what? I think we ought to give this away now.
Do it.
Yeah. Secret text word. And Casey, I'm going to let you pick the number this time.
I'm going to go with number 20.
Number 20. All right. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the secret text word. And if you do, and you are caller number 20, we're going to give you this trip from the Green Legion, Brian Dawkins Hall of Fame induction, and that is transportation, that is hotel, and that is a tailgate that takes place before the induction ceremony. So it should be a pretty cool little setup for you. 215-263-WMMR is the number. Come back in a second. Rob Reiner's on the program. We still have the trash and music news and lesson question as well. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
See there. Chris Stapleton. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So throughout the morning, we've been reminding you of a couple of things. We're headed to London for a live broadcast, and your opportunity to join us is right around the corner. We're going to have our first appearance for this Miller Lite London Calling Green Legion Preston and Steve trip. And our first appearance... where you can come out and get registered, will be July 20th. Marissa's going to be at Xfinity Live.
See, every time that music kicks in, Preston, I see Big Ben and the graphic that says, Meanwhile in London.
Right. Meanwhile in London.
Yes.
Preston and Steve have just arrived. So Xfinity Live on July 20th from 5 to 7. And then the next day at Liberty Union, it will be from 9 to 11 p.m. that you can stop by and get registered for this trip.
This is one of the biggest things we've done in quite a while as far as, you know, a remote broadcast, A, and then B, the ability to bring someone with us is a wonderful deal. So, yeah, it's very cool and very exciting. We want you to go out and participate in these events.
And Green Legion has also given us a trip to give away this morning for something else, which is just as cool. And it is a chance to go and see as Brian Dawkins gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, if you're any sort of Eagles fan, that's obviously something you want to see and see in person.
And he will be, they will have a chance for you to get transportation and hotel accommodations and all that other good stuff. And we need to get a winner. We're looking for caller number 20. So that caller needs to know the secret text word. And caller number 20 is Tom. Tom, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Presbo.
All right.
Presbo.
Tom sounds like he is in a good mood. I love it. You will be in an even better mood if you give me the secret text word, sir.
The secret text word is Wolverine.
That, sir, is absolutely correct, Tom, and you have won the trip for two from the Green Legion for the Brian Dawkins Hall of Fame induction, my man.
Yes!
Nice.
Yeah, that's the way you react.
So excited.
Nice. So let me give you your itinerary. It's a bus trip to Ohio, and it includes transportation from Philly to Cleveland on Friday, August 3rd, two nights hotel, transportation from the hotel to Canton, and then admission to the Hall of Fame prior to the tailgate party and tickets for the induction ceremony. Tailgate includes, it says here, brisket, pulled pork, chicken, and all the sides.
Dear Lord!
And domestic beer.
Domestic beers!
So we got that completely set up for you, Tom. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. I love you guys. You guys rock.
Thank you. Thanks, bud. We appreciate it. Hang on the line. And if you would like to buy into that trip, you can go to greenlegion.com or you can call 215-666-5940 and book your trip today. And Bird's trips are still available this season to London, to Tampa, to New Orleans, Dallas, L.A., D.C., and Nashville as well.
I have to say, as I hear more and more people who have used Green Legion and have booked trips, nothing but raves. Nothing but great reviews. It's a cool service they provide. Yeah, you loved it, Case, right?
Well, yeah, I did two trips with those guys. I did San Francisco twice.
Yeah.
And, I mean, both trips were around the same time of year, which just so happened to be Fleet Week. So at that time, we had an air show over Alcatraz. You know, he also, in conjunction with, obviously, the game, they organized a bus trip to wine country. So we did Napa and Sonoma. It was just... all of it, the entire weekend, was just jam-packed. It was awesome.
Excellent.
When we announced this yesterday that we were going to London for the Eagles game, I heard from a whole bunch of friends who were also already planning to go to the game, and then they wanted to bring some friends. And I said, well, obviously Green Legion is the way to go, but I'm really interested to see how many Philadelphians are in London that week. And people that we know or people that, you know, that we've worked with in the past or wherever. I think it's going to be really a great few days.
Yeah, listen, you can try and piece the trip together, but if you just want to... no fuss, no muss. Go through Green Legion. You don't have to worry about anything.
And they got a great track record. That's what's cool.
And not one single jellyfish death.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow. Never?
Never.
Wow. So you got that going.
Staggering.
All right. We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card if you can answer this question correctly. What American TV show is the Queen trying to bring to England? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get this right. What American TV show is the Queen trying to bring to England? And she was training for it, I think, as well. 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening and you know the answer, then you should call, and we'll see if you can get the prize. We're going to do the trash while we're waiting for your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kylie Jenner revealing in an interview that even though she lost her baby weight after just a month, her breasts have remained two cup sizes bigger. Friends are praising Kylie for her ability to keep a positive attitude, even though she's rich and has huge jugs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jamie Foxx will not face any charges for allegedly tapping a woman in the face with his penis back in 2002 because the case has been closed. Apparently, Foxx's defense lawyer had planned to subpoena the judge's own wife to testify. Then it's not that bad. And finally, Justin Bieber breaking a silence on his engagement to model Hailey Baldwin, announcing that he's putting childish things behind him and is ready to begin a mature relationship. Said Bieber, quote, "In Hailey, I found a woman who really knows how to throw an egg." And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, Steve, let's see if we can get an answer to this lesson question. We said it earlier this morning. What American TV show is the Queen trying to bring to England? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Johnny.
Johnny!
Hey, Johnny, good morning.
Hey, is this Kenny Big Rig Ryder?
Oh, very, wow. Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to be on the radio.
All right, well, I'm excited to talk to you as well.
We understand.
All right, so, Johnny, do me a favor. Tell me what American TV show the Queen is trying to bring to England.
American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, she'll make it into British Ninja Warrior. Correct. Hang on a second,
Johnny.
We're going to take care of you, my man. We have for you a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Rita's Gelati just got even better, the five-layer gelati. Try one of Rita's signature favorites, or you can create your own. Endless possibilities available only in July, so you can create yours today at your Rita's. We have time for music news, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's see what I got here for you. We'll start with this Nine Inch Nails. My man Trent Reznor has explained his decision to market the band's new studio effort, Bad Witch, as an LP when its length suggests it's an EP. Reznor
Son
said,
of a bitch!
The decision to call it an LP was a very unsexy one on our part. I hadn't really thought about the whole thing of streaming services and where it pops up. And suddenly it's, oh, now they're hidden down with these singles and bootlegs and bull S at the bottom.
Oh.
Reznor added, what's an EP anyway? No one can answer. Well, F it. Let's call it an LP. Let's not charge anymore. And it's not a scam to rip people off, but just have it up here instead of down there. So
it's where it gets placed in the roster is basically what he's doing for positioning.
Yeah, it's only 30 minutes long, but like you said, he's not going to charge you for more music than that.
I understand that.
That's why they went along with it. Bad Witch arrived last month and is the third in a series of records that Nine Inch Nails has issued over the past 2 years, including 2016's Not the Actual Events and 2017's Add Violence. Blues Traveler is celebrating its 30th anniversary, and they're doing a major summer and fall tour along with the October 12th release of its 13th album called Hurry Up and Hang Around.
I always dug Blues Traveler.
I did too. The band still includes co-founders John Popper on vocals and harmonica, guitarist Chan Kinchla, drummer Brendan Hill, and bassist Tad Kinchla, along with keyboardist Ben Wilson. He came on board following the 1999 death of the original member Bobby Sheehan. I looked at their dates. They're not really hitting anything in Philadelphia, but they will be in Ocean City, New Jersey on July 30th at the Ocean City Music Pier.
At the Music Pier, really?
Yeah, they'll be playing in Wilkes-Barre at the FM Kirby Center on August 1st.
Colin Firth, yeah.
And they'll be in Lancaster at the American Music Theater on August 24th.
So all around us, but not here.
Yeah,
so
which is too bad because I would love to have them in the studio to play to promote a show coming up.
We had John Papa in the studio years ago. Great guy. And then when he tears it up on that harmonica, it's amazing.
He gave me one.
Yeah, and I still
have it at home. Yeah, absolutely. Anyhow, let's see. Maybe they can swing through here on their way to Ocean City or something like that. And then I just have one more story, and that's it. Excuse me. Tom Petty's 1965 Gibson SG is set to go under the hammer on July 21st via Heritage Auctions. The guitar, which Petty famously played during the Heartbreakers' 60-date 1986 True Confessions tour backing Bob Dylan, is being sold along with Petty's iconic black top hat, which was also used on the tour and in the Traveling Wilburys videos, Handle with Care and End of the Line. The guitar is signed by the late guitarist and also includes a signed black and white photo of Tom Petty playing with Bob Dylan during a performance.
Wow.
It's
also signed by Randy Jackson, Preston.
Oh, well, I mean, if you saw him.
That's all you have.
You got to get it signed.
It's exactly what I would do.
So Tom wrote on a note, on the photo confirming that the guitar was played on tour with Dylan. The guitar is being sold by Petty's friend, a guy named Norm Harris, who runs a rare guitar shop. And the guitar shop, the top hat, are expected to fetch about $300,000.
Wow.
The proceeds from the sale benefiting two Southern California charities, the Midnight Mission that helps the homeless and Tassie Animal Rescue Fund.
So you would think that's something that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would want, you know?
Yeah, but they probably have some stuff of his as it is. So, interesting. And I do want to mention this. The Slayer Meet and Greet social media contest that's going on. July 31st, they're playing the Pavilion at Montage Mountain in Scranton. And we have an exclusive rare opportunity for you to meet Slayer. And you get not only to meet the band, but you get a hotel room for the night, VIP parking, free water park passes, pit tickets to the show, and a signed Slayer guitar.
Ooh.
And by the way, have you heard Sarah screaming Slayer?
Yeah,
she's great.
Dude, she has got a serious scream on her.
She's a rock chick.
She's a total rock chick.
Yeah.
But apparently you have to enter by posting a video doing your best. I can't even do it. Casey,
Slayer!
Yeah. You guys can like do it better than I. And you posted on Twitter, Instagram with hashtag WMMR Slayer Contest. And you got to do it in a very unslayer-like location.
Right. A Christian Science reading room.
A
something
library.
That would be. Right, exactly. That would be inappropriate. You don't want to be outlandish, but it has to be a little inappropriate.
Independence Mall.
Independence Mall.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. These are some good places.
During Easter Mass.
You could maybe.
Yes, in the Vatican.
I don't know, but maybe. If you could pull that off.
No, you can't actually because of the time limit.
Yeah.
But anyhow, Casey, you did it in the bathroom at the BB&T Pavilion one time, right?
Well, I was also at Ozfest. And
you had everyone joined in.
Well, it was my buddy said, if you go into the bathroom and scream that, like, people respond.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's kind of like a...
Slayer fans know what to do.
Well, it's like a wolf, you know, like one wolf howls and then the next, you know, and next thing you know, everybody's howling. So I did that at Ozfest and... Next thing you know, the whole bathroom is yelling.
It's very communal.
Screaming Slayer.
Like a screaming bathroom full of Slayer fans.
All right, so it's your chance to win a meet and greet and some other goodies with that. All right, our next guest is ready to go. So we're going to spend a couple of minutes talking to him about the film Shock and Awe, which is in theaters on July 13th. We talked to him not too long ago about LBJ.
Yes.
Which was very cool, and we love having him on the show at any given time. So please welcome the one and only Mr. Rob Reiner.
Yay! Hey, how are you guys?
We're
how
great.
You going?
We're doing wonderful. Rob, how are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
This is a movie that is on the heels of LBJ. In fact, it's the same writer, correct, Rob?
It's the same writer, Joey Hartstone, and also Woody Harrelson, who was in LBJ, is also one of the stars of this.
Wait, were they sort of done back to back?
Well, I did them. Yeah, I mean, in 1 year I did LBJ, and the next year I did Shock and Awe. So, yeah, they were pretty close on each other's heels.
So you're acting in this as well, and this focuses in on the lead up to the war in Iraq, and specifically with the press, and they're digging into the information about whether or not the reports of Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction was accurate or inaccurate, and you sort of follow that lead, that chronology, correct?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, these four journalists from Knight Ridder News got it all right. They were able to debunk the idea of the aluminum tubes and whether or not there was a connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda and also the weapons of mass destruction, but they couldn't break through. There was such a headwind that they were facing with all the patriotism in the country after 9/11 and the propaganda that came out of the Bush administration. And the film really is about, it's a cautionary tale about how important it is for the press to dig in and find the truth, because when you don't find the truth, there are sometimes very, very dire consequences. In this case, there was, you know, this invasion of Iraq, which was disastrous. And right now, the press is facing even more difficult headwinds in trying to get to the truth with the Trump administration. So that's what the film is about, and hopefully people will see it and realize that, you know, our democracy is not going to survive unless we have, you know, a free and independent press that can get to the truth.
Hey, you know what, Rob, I have to ask, because, I mean, you're talking about obviously a very serious, a very heavy, a very intense subject, and you've had a number of those things, but you've done a lot of light and fun and cool films as well. Is there a time when you have to take a break from either or and go into another direction? I mean, just on a personal mental, you know, reasoning, because I gotta go in a different direction.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, and I think for the most part, you know, I'll go to where the zeitgeist of the country is. You know, I mean, you know, it's probably, it would be much easier and much more fun to just do something light and frothy right now, but I got to tell you, I'm a little bit nervous about our democracy and the erosion of our democracy at this point. So I'm trying to do what I can to, you know, point people at, you know, in certain directions. But, you know, listen, I'm, you know, I like comedy. I, you know,
sure.
I do satire. You know, I'm very confused.
You know what? You know what happens? And I love your work, and I've loved your stuff forever. And you know, early on, and your writing, and going with the Smothers Brothers, and you know, loving the Happy Days, and all. I mean, we talked last time around, all from the beginning. We've all been huge fans of yours. But I find this sort of thing, and I know people start to get worried and get into the political thing, and I'm very politically minded. You know, I may veer a little bit from some of your sensibilities, but I've always respected your point of view and what you've had to say. I've always been interested in. But I wonder if you had the same thing that I do, that you just catch yourself saying, God, I have to walk away from this for a little bit and go out and look at the sun and the flowers, because it can just weigh you down.
You're exactly right. You know, and it can, especially now when you've got social media, and if you're on Twitter or you go on, you know, Facebook or whatever, you can't get away from it.
Yes.
You know, it's all encompassing. So yes, you do have to, you know, go and smell a flower. You know,
you're right. And the thing is, and sometimes you forget to remind yourself to do that, because you see yourself, and I think a lot of it happened, you know, we talk about a press that's going to be active and attempting to find the truth. We also live in a time, you know, now of just, it was bad enough when we switched to the 24-hour news cycles on cable television, but you're right, with social media now you have all these quasi-citizen journalists, and listen, and there's good and bad to both, but you are just inundated with it around the clock, and you have to take that pause. I wonder how you as a director and as an artist, when you're doing something like this that's politically polarizing, you know, right, and you want to get your message across, do you try to keep, you know, facts are facts, and that's the case, but there's also an accommodation to other points of view. Do you actively set out to accommodate those points of view, or do you just say, I, you know, this is the way I'm going to put it out here, love it or hate it?
Well, no, I mean, if it's a particular, you know, like this movie is historical.
Yes.
I mean, it's about these four guys and what they actually did.
So right.
I have to be true to that and say, this is what happened. This movie, even though it takes, you know, a big, big shot at the Bush administration, it also is a very pro military film, in that it's saying, and the Tommy Lee Jones's character in the movie basically says, you know, I mean, I'll clean it up, but he says, when the government messes up, the soldiers pay the price.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that's what this is about. You know, it's about, you know, getting it right and getting the right information to the public so that the public can be informed and hold leaders accountable. We don't want terrible things happening based on, you know, based on propaganda. Now, every administration uses propaganda, Democrats, Republicans, to sell, sure, you know, a policy or rationale to go to war. But what you don't want is inundating the public with lies and misinformation. And now, like you say, with social media and with, you know, essentially state-run television that the, you know, Trump has with Fox News and so on, it's really difficult for the public to get to the truth.
I think you're dealing with a case where there's just so much of it, and people's heads start to spin. And so collectively here on the show, we sort of adopted an opinion, and Preston has forwarded this notion. You hear something, take about 48 hours to really, you know, before you react, because everyone has the reflexive outrage thing.
Yeah.
Let it
right.
breathe. Do your due diligence. And I think it's a smart way to approach things. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And, you know, it's hard, though, because 48 hours in this, like you say, 24/7 news cycle with social media is like, you know.
Yeah,
it's an eternity.
No, you're exactly right.
It's
decades.
Yeah.
It does feel that way. Well, Shock and Awe is going to be in theaters on July 13th. We'd love to spend more time with you, but you know, we know you're very, very busy today. And we want to have you on anytime you're available, sir, because you do such great stuff.
Thanks, fellas. I really appreciate you having me.
All right, great to talk to you, Rob Reiner.
Yes.
Guys. And like I said, that's July 13th. He always has a great sounding phone line.
He has a great sounding
phone
line.
Great clean phone line.
Very congenial, and always. If we could get him in here to just go through, you know, take his movies all the way back.
Oh man,
you know, Spinal Tap. You could spend hours on just Spinal Tap.
Just Spinal Tap.
Yeah,
alone. That's one. You know, I got to show my sons that movie.
You know, he did a movie that I thought was unfairly criticized and just ripped apart. A movie called North. That was sort of sweet. Do you remember that movie?
I only saw parts of it, Steve. It was so savaged by the critics that I really never gave it any time.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Elijah Wood.
Elijah
Wood was in it,
right?
Yeah.
And it's not what they're, you know, again, sometimes there's this mass reaction that's not and the critics just seemed to jump on something. I thought, no, it was sweet.
There was a show on CNN, I think it was on Saturday night, and it was a history of television.
Yes.
And it was talking about the 70s, and they spent a lot of time with Norman Lear and All in the Family and Carol O'Connor and Rob Reiner. And it was really interesting to see the perspective of what a revolutionary TV show like that was at that time when there were so few options. And you talk about the amount of volume and just content and channels and how many different programs on Netflix alone. But the way that All in the Family shaped the American dialogue at one point was really a pretty amazing thing.
And if you watch it now, there's no way you could get away
with God.
All in the Family on current television. You could not, even though it would be framed in the, we're showing a guy here who's got less than desirable opinions in a lot of issues. But they also gave him his due now and then. So it was never just a one note character. But the dialogue alone would have been absolutely verboten.
I didn't know they were that open with dropping the N-word.
Sure.
And it just was, to me, now, 30-some-odd years, almost 40 years later, it was shocking.
Yeah.
It's funny, man. You talk about that day and age as well as far as entertainment goes. Like the other day, I'm surfing around. I'm checking all my cable channels. I'm checking all of Netflix. And then I just go over to YouTube because I couldn't find anything that was really speaking to me.
That's how jaded.
How did we survive with three channels and one local channel? Yeah.
In a way, though, it forced you to sample things you might not have otherwise.
Exactly.
And I've told you, there was a time you just watched it.
Yeah.
There was a time in my personal history where this is just at the beginning of some cable, HBO and a few other channels, where I could recite the entire broadcast day of every television channel.
I
was obsessed.
Wow.
And not anymore.
Yep. Now you just, whatever you want.
I collect action figures.
That's what he does.
I'm an adult, Preston.
Hey, I need to mention our friends from Dietz and Watson, the Philly Pretzel Factory, are here today because next Wednesday is National Hot Dog Day, and they want you to take a selfie with your Dietz and Watson pretzel dog from Philly Pretzel Factory and post it with the hashtag PPFDollarDog for a $5 gift certificate at Philly Pretzel Factory. So you can do that. And it's a little gift from those guys. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Say It Ain't So, Weezer on 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. What a great song to end on. 10:35 with the Preston and Steve program. And is this a tweet from Rivers Cuomo?
Yeah, Pierre retweeted it yesterday, and I found it pretty interesting.
He wrote, I always feel like the radio knows I just got in the car when Weezer comes on right away. Nice.
I think it's cool that people like Rivers are driving around listening to the radio and hearing their own songs. And probably still getting charged by that.
So good stuff, man. Hopefully, Rivers, we love you. Thanks for listening, man.
Appreciate it.
And thank you for listening today. I've had an enjoyable day today. A little bit on the warmer side weather-wise. We're going to go up to about 94 degrees. And sun tomorrow, high 88. And maybe an afternoon shower on Thursday with a high about 83. So not such a bad week.
No, it's appropriate to the time of year. In the summer, things get warmer traditionally.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
It does. And we want to thank the people who have been on today's program. How great was it to have Ian LaPerriere stop by here again today?
Yes.
It's been a number of years since Ian's been by, and he missed us, he said, and we missed him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of personality.
He does. The Flyers Charity Classic. It's a bike ride / walk that's taking place this weekend on Sunday. Ian's going to be one of the people there. There's going to be a few other alums that will be at the event as well. It'll be at Xfinity Live on Sunday. Today's the last day to get registered for it. We have the details right there at WMMR.com. Just click on events at WMMR.com. And if you enter the code WMMR, you get 15% off the registration, which is cool. Thank you to director Rob Reiner.
Yes.
His film Shock and Awe is in theaters on Friday, so we spoke to him for just a moment or two. And also thank you to Dietz and Watson and Philly Pretzel Factory. National Hot Dog Day next Wednesday, July 18th. You can get $1 Dietz and Watson pretzel dogs all day at Philly Pretzel Factory, and they dropped off a whole bunch for us, and we ate them, and Ian ate them, and we shared them with everybody.
And we watched him eat them, and then he watched us eat them. Beautiful. It was all very good.
Let me see. What else I want to mention? Oh, the Belly Flop Championship is coming up. Valley Forge. Ooh. Beach poolside a week from Thursday. You're invited to come because it is absolutely free of charge. You just have to be at least 21 to come in and be a part of this whole thing.
Come have a great time. You have not seen anything like it.
No, it's quite a special event. We've always had a great time with it. It's kind of like the card. It's a smaller version of the Cardboard Classic in the summer.
Yes. An aquatic version.
Come out and join us for that. And like I said, there's a sand and cabana bar there's all kinds of great things there. You can be in the pool while it's taking place, too, which is awesome. So that's coming up a week from Thursday, and it's 6 to 8, I believe we do that. So be a part of it. We'd love for you to be there. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Wonderful. Happy to have you back.
Thank you. I bring breaking news.
What?
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Coming.
I have it.
You need on.
It.
Yes.
You want yours?
No, please, you, Naomi.
Breaking news.
So I'm in the Whole Foods yesterday, and I pick up a Mainline magazine, and it has Best of the Mainline in Western Suburbs. And I turn to the readers, so the magazine editors choose things, and the readers choose things, and the readers poll says, Best Radio Morning Show, Preston and Steve.
Oh. Yeah. That's very sweet and nice.
Yes, it is very nice.
Our cockles are warmed.
Then there's another category, Best Radio Music DJ, Pierre Robert.
Hey. Love it.
There's another category, Best Radio Station for Music, 93.3 WMMR.
Yay! It's a sweet
trifecting.
A trifecti.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It's really cool.
Nice. Always do well with that particular magazine. They're very, the readers are very wonderful.
Yes.
So a thousand thanks to Mainline Today readers for voting all of us in various categories in the station overall as your favorites. We really appreciate it. Thank
awesome.
You.
We do appreciate that. Cool, man.
Cool.
That's good news. I love that you have good tidings to bring us,
sir. Brought tidings of goodness.
Nice. How's the finger healing up? You it was bitten by a Komodo dragon, if you didn't hear the story.
It falls off.
Yeah.
No, I mean, my bandages, I just had my little brace on.
Right.
And it fell off, and then the bandage fell off, too, and Pancake goes, oh, my God. And I go, I'm sorry. And I said, do you want to see it? Well, he sort of did, and he sort of didn't. And then I showed it to him, and he turned away.
It's a finger injury that went down to the bone, you said, right?
Yeah.
That's unpleasant.
Do you want to see it, Kathy?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Love.
Is it off?
It's off.
I'm not looking.
He's showing it, yeah.
See?
Yeah, that's
it's pretty grim.
Yeah. Okay. Stitches all the way around.
Stitches,
man.
All the way around. I'll lose my fingernail.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, though. It's a tough story.
It's tough. I
only got 9 fingernails.
I only got 9 fingernails.
Why'd you ask how it happened?
Take that, punk. How many nails do I have in my nails now, punk? Yeah. Maybe I have 10. Maybe I have 9.
All this commotion, I lost count.
I lost count. So don't.
I bet you, as you're doing my manicure, you're wondering why I only have 9. It's a tough story, I'll tell you. Do that foot massage thing again, and maybe I'll tell you.
Maybe.
Put more cotton balls between my toes, and maybe we'll recount the story for you. No, it hurts, man. Finger injuries like that suck.
Listen, any part of your body can be your tiny, itty bitty little pinky toe.
Yeah.
You can have extreme pain there, and it can be debilitating. It can happen anywhere on your body. It really can.
Well,
it
and
can
it's
be in your earlobe, and you'll have, whatever, man.
Amazing. Any portion of your body you think doesn't count for your daily functions, and then you realize it affects something.
Yeah.
You know, putting my hand in my pocket in my left side and working out. I can't work out for a little while, and that's really annoying.
Well, you know what, though? But you can still do lobe ups. So to Preston's point about the earlobes. You can continue to do that.
I hadn't thought of that. Good.
Yeah.
A lot of people ignore that part of their body.
Okay.
Should we do the letter of the day?
Yes.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
R as in Ronald.
All right, fair enough. You got two of them now. We're going to need five all together to make a word. We have a two-hour axe-throwing experience for 10 people in the Philadelphia area's most extreme axe-throwing venue. It's Chopper's Hatchet House in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Visit choppershh.com. We will give away that prize on Friday. What type of entertainment do you have planned for today, sir?
Well, we ran the entire interview yesterday with Dave Grohl, which was great fun. In the 2 o'clock hour, and we'll have a couple more pieces from the concert coverage of the Foo Fighters. By the way, the entire interview is up at WMMR.com if you want to hear it. And he's just such an amazingly nice guy. And the shout out, we're still kind of amazed at all of that. We will have a follow-up to that in that we'll have a workforce block of the Struts today. And they also spoke to the Struts after they got off stage. And they came out and they all wished us happy birthday. And then on a lark, I said, would you sing us happy birthday? And in four-part harmony, the Struts proceeded to sing us happy birthday.
I didn't hear about that.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, it hasn't aired yet.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah.
So we'll have a workforce block of the Struts in the interview with the lads. We'll have more Britain in that. We'll have the Stones, and then we'll have AC/DC in a workforce block because yesterday was Bon Scott's birthday. Also, Double Shot Tuesday, so double shots throughout the day. Also, our archive selection for around 1:30 will be Bon Jovi from the free show suggested by Nicholas and agreed to by John that the band did for us on March 26th of 2010. And we have a great song from that moment.
At some point, excellent. You should do bands with the finger in the title and finger songs.
Yeah.
To
finger
11.
Finger of Touch.
Yeah.
Was an incredible band.
They're local.
Yeah, well, they're local, but they had a big hit.
Everyone called them the Touch.
Yeah, exactly. They just called them the Touch. Like they say, the Floyd instead of the, you know, and the Zeppelin.
Right.
So
they say, give them the finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was another band, okay. Actually.
Email Pierre with finger songs so he doesn't have to work on this. And
he's injured, man.
Yeah,
he's playing injured.
His brain was located in his finger, yes. And therefore, what little brain matter he had is already in danger.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
Let me thank our sponsors. Today's program has been brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Tomorrow, we go live on Fox Good Day. And we'll have many things to bring you up to speed on and have your chance to win. And I'm sure some other stuff is forthcoming. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have yourself a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
You walk against traffic and you bike with traffic. It's not common sense. It's the law.
Next message.
If there's anyone out there who wants to yank my crank, I'm going to let them.
Next message.
Doctors are saying that during the summer days, people tend to get lazy, and that's when they tend to gain weight. All I got to say to that is, it's nice as outside. Get your fat ass up and go out and have a good life. Free your life!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.